Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we fall short at, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us tonight as we go through the county's business, and that everything we do will be in accordance with your will. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Need approval of the minutes for the Horseshoe Beach in Board County Commissioners Workshop.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the 08-01-24 Funds Workshop.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the emergency meeting for the hurricane.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Need approval of the regular Board of County Commissioner meetings of the 15th.
Motion.
Second. Got a motion, Mr. Wood. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Vouchers.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Any officers here like to speak? Before we go into public hearing, I know Mr. Paul had something to say.
That's in the public hearing.
Oh, that's in the, okay, all right. Need a motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Can I go now?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman and Board. There was a public notice sent out to all affected property owners concerning the special assessments for the solid waste and for the fire assessment. It only goes out to property owners that are affected because the rates are not going to change. So I have one written opposition from a Ms. Helen Russell opposing those special assessments. So since it was advertised as a public hearing, I just wanted to ask if there was anyone here to give any public comment on the special assessment notice that was sent out for them.
Is she here?
She is not. She sent that by letter.
Okay.
Well, read it.
I don't have it. She was just stating that she was in opposition of the special assessment on her property.
Okay. We got.
Where was that at?
State your name. State your name.
For the property owner,
yes.
It was on Highway 19 headed towards the Fannin Springs Bridge, just before you get to Fannin Springs. That's what we all know locally as the old Dillinger property.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Leon?
All right, we have a petition by Alex Kemp requesting special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.7.5, Special Exception, Dixie County Land Development Regulation, to permit one recreational vehicle, RSF, in the Eastern Zoning District, in accordance with petition dated 06-07-2024, to be located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 19-13-12-2994-00-0344, 20 Southeast 908 Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Commission District 3, Mr.
Any opposition?
Yes, sir.
Anyone here opposing? State your name, come first, state your name. Tell me why you're opposing.
David Fritz, I oppose this. My lot is across the street from it. Why are you doing this? You want an exemption. I recall back when the homesteads were going on, after 30 days, the federal government ruled you were a resident of an area. Therefore, you came out locally with the 14-day rule. You cannot live in a non-permitted structure more than 14 days. It has to be moved. The reason why this would be an exemption. Why? You want to get a homestead exemption for that property? But it lowers the tax rate then? Put that taxes up to the rest of us. In my neighborhood, we have trailers and prefabs, vacant lots. If you've got a trailer, you get a sticker, that trailer is exempt from your property taxes. Your infrastructure may be taxed, but not that trailer, not that building. People in the other homes, prefabs, houses, they have their homestead exemption. It covers on that property. They pay taxes. I've lived in many neighborhoods where you have a subdivision of trailers. They don't really contribute much on the tax base. They are heavy users of the local system, which is fine. Schools, great. People, you know, I have neighbors. Half the neighbors are in trailers. Some are children. We pay taxes for the schools heavily on that. An exemption for one property to allow a substandard construction. I have a neighbor in the window of the trailer right now. I came by the day on the way here. There's an RV with a blue tarp parked in front of it. Is this what you want as a standard for the neighborhood? What's going to happen when the insurance company finds out about this? Your rates are going to go up. I might not even get insurance on my property. Insurance is going to go, no, you got an exemption next door. A red flag. Right? So take it to the bank. Are they going to finance your property next door? No. You're going to have an exemption. They're going to say, problem. We don't want to deal with it. How many have lost insurance in the last couple of years in Florida? It's hard to get. Don't make it harder. Don't spread our tax liability out to others. You know, that's basically it.
Thank you.
What was your name again?
David Fritz. You know, it's going to affect the property values.
Is Mr. Kemp here?
Yeah.
Is Mr. Kemp here?
You want a vehicle like that next door? It's going to affect my values. If it affects values, people get upset and they have litigation. Thank you.
Anybody else opposing? Anyone on the phone?
No.
Now, let me talk to you about your values. Your values on a vacant piece of property is $34 a year. That's what the county makes off of a vacant piece of property. RV special exception, you pay half of the, you pay up to $1,000 impact fees to do an RV special exception. So you pay some of your impact fees as a property owner. Put a renewal of $300 a year on every RV special exception. They pay fire. They pay, I'll let you talk. So they pay fire. They pay every assessment that you pay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to Mr. Kemp. I'm going to make a motion to table this. The next thing that we do will be in the next board meeting, which will be Paul Monday, what?
September the 16th.
You're more than welcome to come by.
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. to 16.
Yeah. And I would like to get your phone number also where we can talk.
Yes, my assessed value is more than $34.
Yeah. Well, his, that's what his is right now.
Yeah. So mine's considerably more than that.
So they do have some value to the county. And plus it forces them into paying part of a impact fee also. So I hope this is a temporary thing that he's trying to do to put him a home there. And if he is, I don't have an issue with it. But if he's wanting to stay there for permanently, I do have an issue with it.
Yeah, it's going to be the farm. Throw it out. I mean,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's my concern. How long is it going to stay there?
Mine too. So sounds like we're both on the same page now. And I'll get with you. I need your phone number. I can get up with you. Give me your contact information. And if you leave early for the board meeting, you can write it down right here on this piece of paper for me.
All right.
So I got a motion to table.
We got Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Motion to table. Second. Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
All right.
Petition by Edward DEVTSPH requesting a special exception to be granted as providing 4.7.5 special exceptions to Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle RSF MH Zone District in accordance with petition dated 07-03-2024 located on the property described as follows: Dixie County Parcel Number 19-13-12-2994-0003-5430. 14 Southeast, 908 Avenue, Alabama, Florida, 32680, Commission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch, and For your information, this is right next door to the other piece of property that you just tabled.
Any opposition? Do you have any opposition on this? Recorded in your office?
Do I have any
recorded? Anyone here opposing? Anyone here opposing?
Do you understand that right next to the one
that you... It's right next door.
You opposing this one, too?
I have one notice, one property. If they're trying to change something out, they wasn't informed about it, and I would object.
I got one notice on one property.
Well, he's across the canal.
That's to be put out there prior, yeah, assuming they prior to the meeting, stating that this property's up. Not everybody gets the notice.
Who? Oh, yeah. We're going to table his, too. Yes, sir. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, come on up. Come on up. Please do. Yeah. Tell me your plan.
My name's Edward Deutsch.
Yes, sir.
I recently purchased that property.
Yes, sir.
My wife's and I future plans are to build a home on that property.
Right.
In the meantime, we would like to be able to utilize it.
Of course.
We're in the process. We've entered in the contract to build a seawall on that property.
Say, I'll bring that paper back, please. Go ahead.
And make improvements on that property. If you look across the street of 908 Avenue, there's an RV on that.
Bring me the other one, too. Both of them.
If you look across the canal from our property, there's two RVs on that property. Okay.
Here's the corner lot right here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead. Keep talking.
So across right the here. Street from us, there's an RV currently.
Yep.
With a pad and, you know, it looks like a nice maintained area.
Mm-hmm.
Behind us, there's a house that looks like it's suffered damage several times in storms, and there's two RVs currently on that property.
Come here, Mr. Dad.
Yes.
This is the one you got notice on. Where's your property at?
Let's see.
That one right there is the one you got notice.
Okay.
I'm
across the street.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's not right. There's a canal divide.
Very nice.
Okay, you don't know where you're
This is not. This is not my. That is not my neighborhood.
Okay.
I'll pull my map. That ain't where I'm at.
Well, so. Where's your neighborhood at?
That's good. Sit down.
Is it in the hammock or where?
Go ahead, Mr.
I'm in the hammock.
You're in Oakdale Hammock?
Yeah, I'm in the hammock. This is Hammock.
That's 20.
Yeah,
Mark, is that 20?
Yeah.
Well, he's in Old Town Hammock.
I'm in a hammock. Sorry, sir.
Go have a seat, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
We want to be able to put an RV there so we can come down in the meantime to our property.
Okay, you said enough. Anyone here opposing?
No.
Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
We've got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve.
Second.
Mr. Lewis, all in favor.
Let's go back to the... Can we get...
Just one moment, gentlemen. I got no problem with what y'all doing, but we need to get a correct address on some of these properties. I got two 908 avenues. One's in Old Town Hammock and one's in Swanee. Do we have two 908s, Mr. Leon?
Southeast.
I mean, Swanee Center.
Southeast 908 Ave.
Southeast 908.
We both have Old Town address.
That's just the way
it is. They're both Southeast 908. One of them's 20 and one's 14.
14 Northeast.
Do you know the other person?
I'm sure so, yes.
Is that kin to you or what? No, sir.
He's not. The gentleman that went into contract for the lot next door to ours, to my understanding, is he backed out of that contract because he wasn't sure whether he was going to be able to get an RV exemption. So he was looking to do what we were looking to do. You know, we spent a lot of money on that property. Everyone knows here that how much property costs. But I'm in the belief that I'm not going to build something I can't pay for. So I want to be able to use it as I pay for it. So,
okay, here's what we're going to do. Yours is approved because you showed up. Thank you for doing that. Leon, the other one's tabled, call that man and tell him to get a hold of to me. And we'll talk about his next time. Yours... I don't know what the hell to tell you.
Mr. Chairman, just so that my right story will be correct. Mr. Joyce?
Yes, sir.
It's northeast?
Southeast.
And you're in the southeast also?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. We had a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second is Mr. Stevenson, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Wood, second.
Wood, my bad. Mr. Wood seconded it. All in favor? All right.
Thanks, sir.
Petition by Nicholas Mole, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.4. Special exceptions of the Plan of Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an agricultural zoning district in accordance with the petition dated 7/31/2024 to be located on the property as described as follows. This plan of parcel number 16/9/13/41/10/00/15/01/70/140 Northeast 70th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, Mission District 1, Mr. Jody Stevenson.
You have any opposition?
None recorded.
Anybody here oppose it? Anybody on the phone? Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Mr. Stevenson. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Petition by Bryce William D. Bright Cole, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.4.5, special exceptions of the 16-year-old regulations to permit one recreational vehicle agricultural zoning district in accordance with a petition dated 7/11/2024 to be located on the property as described as follows. Dix County parcel number 4/10/13/45/19/00/00/04/50/14/44 Northeast 239 Avenue, Old Town, Florida 32680. Commission District 2, Mr. Daniel Wood, and the owner is here.
The owner would like to speak. Okay. I spoke to you on the phone the other day, but, and you're planning on retiring. We've been here and building a home and would like to be able to utilize the property to make improvements on it until then, correct?
Yes, and eventually retire.
Okay.
And build a home. Many times
to enjoy it. You know, opposition?
Any on the phone?
That's the property I'm complaining about.
Okay, good. Motion to approve.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood, to approve. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Okay. It's settled now. I thought it was going to be his district.
So y'all approved it?
Yeah, I did.
You just heard what he was going to do.
He's going to use
temporary.
Yeah.
As long as it's temporary, it's fine. As long as it's gone.
Okay.
Mr. Leon?
Yes, sir. By Sherry B-U-G-H, requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in section 4.5, special exceptions of Dixie County Land Development Regulation to permit one recreational vehicle, ESA Zone District, in accordance with petition dated 06/22/2024, to be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 25/09/13/44/23/00/01/40/490 Northeast 356 Avenue, Old Town, Florida 32680.
Commission
District, Mr.
Davis. You have any opposition?
Yes, sir.
Anyone here oppose it? Anyone on the phone? Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, to approve. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Petition by Patrick Miles, located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 30/13/12/2994/00/05/50/83 Southeast 908th Street, Old Town, Florida 32680/20. Requesting a variance for the reduction of side setbacks from 10 feet to 5 feet on both sides for the construction of a boathouse by petition date 7/30/2024, which is located in section 4.7.7, subparagraph 2 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with section 12.3, variance procedures, Mission District 3, Mr. Mark Hatch.
Any opposition?
Yes, sir.
Anyone here opposing? Motion to approve.
Motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve.
Right.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye. the Wish billboard signs were that easy.
Oh, I know. I told him.
Motion to go back to the board.
No,
got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Pat. Do it.
No.
All in favor.
All right.
First one is tabled.
First one is tabled. Resolution 2024-72.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Take it.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Right. Resolution 2024-73.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Resolution
2024-74. Motion.
Motion, Mr. Wood.
Take it.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Resolution 2024-75.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Resolution 2024-76.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Mr. Hatch. All in favor? That's with that, but now, Mr. Leon, just stay up there, because you've got a youngin's ball game to attend, so...
So I got a couple of items I need to bring before the board. To answer your question at the last meeting, I was here for, and if you guys could continue to help me, it's not within the permit exchange system for our contractors. Those, we only have five in the system. Like those, we run the best. You know,
I went there and visited you this evening.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So what I need help with is the inspections for FEMA in Suwannee and Gina. And I come before the board previously with Hurricane Idalia had asked, because this can be paid for through FEMA. Now, FEMA's team, they have a team that will come in and do this. I don't want to use that team. That's the same team that Lee County is messed up with right now. 2 years after the fact, they've come in and started writing them up and disciplining them. They've taken their CRS, they've put them on probation. That's the same exact thing that they're trying to send you now. What I would need to do is I would need y'all to approve that we advertise for the inspections through the 1206 and get that taken care of right now. That's what I need help with. That's one item I need help with. The second item I need help with is I need clear direction from the board on who to talk to for land development code questions. Mr. Gene Bowles has retired and moved to Mexico. He's no longer here. And as you know, we haven't fully adopted the LDRs. And there's going to be some very controversial items coming up in the near future that we're going to want to know who I need to send that through to either verify, or I know we've talked about different engineering staff, but I need clear direction. Those are the two items that I need help with.
All right, guys. He needs some help. So,
back to the first one.
Okay.
Say it again.
It's the 1206 is a program that FEMA pays to come in and do the inspections for you. And I can help get that information to you or to Mr. Paul or whoever it needs to be.
Okay, so we have two engineers firms on staff, John and Greg. Didn't I see him somewhere or another?
He's back there.
Do y'all do that? Greg? Will you ask Greg Bailey to step in here, please?
Greg.
Greg, ask him.
Do you do 1206 substantial damage inspections?
I have not.
I wasn't aware of.
Okay, so we need to advertise for help on that?
Yes, sir.
Motion to advertise.
Second.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to advertise. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
Problem two.
The other problem is the LDRs. You know, we have them. We're waiting on legal's insert to go into them. But we have some issues that are going to be coming, just like the gentleman who stood up here previously on the wetland impacts. And you're going to have some more items coming down the pipeline that I'm going to want someone else to put eyeballs on and validate, yes, you're correct. The liability purposes for reassurance, you know, we've already moved forward with our advertising signs. You'll see them. They've got an extra line underneath them for the local planning agency for a date and time. Like, we have that. We have them set up. Like, we need to have your direction on. I don't know exactly what we need to do. We need to advertise for it.
Can our engineers help you do that, or?
Well, yes, but that's a two-problem thing right there. There's actually two problems in that. The LDR is number one. That Tana, you had recommended a law firm to help with that, right?
We have talked to an attorney.
So we talked to two different attorneys. Yeah. The first attorney proofread the bulk of the LDRs. Then we discovered the enforcement side of things. So then we've had training through Ms. Jennifer over in Chiefland, and then we reached out to the attorney for Alachua, and we now need to incorporate some of that language and verbiage in there, and we're ready for adoption on those. But that's part one. The other part is with land development codes, you have other people who have other certificates that I don't hold.
I understand that.
You know, so, yes, we've been processing a lot of paperwork for many, many years. And, you know, we talked about this previously with Mr. Gregg, where he went, I don't know where he went out, and Mr. Locklear, you know, everybody's offered help, and I need direction.
Okay, let's to me, we need to peel this onion one layer at a time. The LDRs, without LDRs in place, what are you enforcing?
Well, we have LDRs.
I know, but the
heater currently.
I know that, but we're wanting to make them bigger and better.
Yep.
Right?
Correct.
That's the reason we've been working on these for a while now.
2 years now.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say 2 years. Yeah. I'm glad you said it, because that's how long it's been. So, Tana, what can we do to get our LDRs?
Our best, and we believe we will make the rollout date because we wanted to get it advertised to be ready to roll out with the first of, I think we said October, wasn't it, Mr. Leon? So we've got to get it sent out and advertised very quickly to have our rollout date match October. So we're trying to get that going. The LDR portion is ready, the code enforcement portion is in place as far as my recommendation is to follow the statutes. And then we beef it up as with amendments as we find an area that is lacking, because I think that's all we can do until we actually find out that statutes are there for code enforcement, and they are our basic guidelines. We have been getting a lot of help from Alachua and different things like that, so I think, you know, we're going to continue. We have built a really good relationship with the attorney over there. The code enforcement officers, I think they come over, didn't they, Mr. Leon, or did you go
in contact with them? And so that's part of my disagreement right there with legal, is I disagree with adopting it and then figuring out that we have something wrong and then doing amendments.
But if I'm saying we're going to go strictly with the statute, so we wouldn't be wrong because the statute covers it.
Yeah. We can, so I just need the verbiage that needs to be cut, copied, and pasted.
Okay, so we're going to be able to do this month and get it advertised?
I'll get it to Leon. I'll try to get to him midweek at the latest.
So that's a good time frame for you now. I'm going to put undue work there.
Yeah, because like I said, I'm a strong believer in stick with the statutes and we can't go wrong.
I agree with that. Okay, so Leon, if we get that to you midweek, first of next week, whenever. Okay, so that will fix the LDR problem. Then you got to still advertise that, correct?
Right.
How long do you advertise that? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Yep.
2 weeks?
Yes.
So that would put us in October. Yeah, we could actually adopt that October 3rd. Is that right? Is that our board meeting, October 3rd?
Because the paper goes out.
That'd be the first reading.
Right.
Yes.
So it'd be the first reading of it. Then you'd come back to the 17th and approve it.
Finalized.
And then we'd have our LDRs in place.
Right.
Okay. Is that right, Tana?
Yeah, we'll try to get it in.
That's a good time.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's do that. That'll fix our LDR problem that we've had for a long time. Now, the second part of this is you want a second set of eyes to overlook this.
Right.
Greg can do that, if I'm not mistaken. John can do that, if I'm not mistaken. Which one do you want to work with?
Both good firms to work with. I've worked with them both.
I'll be honest with you, I think Greg's company's better suited than mine.
Motion for Greg.
Mr. Hatch for Mr. Greg, second Mr. Osteen, in discussion. All in favor.
I know previously we had brought this up before, and Mr. Greg had submitted the fee schedule for the board to look at it, and it was a sticker shock.
And it will be again, we'll fire him.
Take care of us.
Then we'll go back to you. And if there's a sticker shop there, we'll advertise. Okay, what else?
So,
got a ball game.
That's right. We've got 30 minutes.
Yeah. So, bring back the fee schedule and what?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it's not where we need to be,
what I'll do is I'll send over a sample packet of how we normally prepare everything, send it over and let them look at it, and then look at possible adjustment of the fee schedule, and then I'll bring it back with the next meeting.
Okay.
Right,
Chairman. Mr. Jones, you need clarification on the motion.
Okay. The motion was
to hire
Mr. Greg and his firm to go over the second set of eyes on our LDRs, correct?
No, we've already got them. The lawyers already reviewed those.
Okay.
I mean, he can read through them if he wants. I know Mr. Brandon over there.
He just needs a second set of eyes to know what he's doing is correct.
Did you get that?
That's
the motions for Mr. Gregg's firm, the second set of eyes, Mr. Leon, just to reassure that what he's doing is correct.
Or if we want to default and let them do something just like we did before with the big subdivision down there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's going to be controversial. I'm not sure whether someone else.
Could be.
Get that? We had Mr. Hatch motioned it. Mr. Stevenson seconded it. And then we voted, all of us voted yay.
I got 5 of these games to attend. So
all right. Thank you, Mr. Leon.
Good luck.
Later, buddy.
I got one thing before you leave, sir, if you don't mind. I know that most people may not be aware, but the health department, as far as doing septic tank permits, is being dissolved and is being turned over to DEP. And it's my understanding that they're going to be, all the permits will have to be run through Alachua County. That will be the hub. I was wondering what we could see about keeping some of that permitting on that side, maybe through your office, where our citizens will have to wait in Alachua County to pull a permit for a septic tank and all that stuff. How we can handle that.
I like to think there's always a way. If you want, I'll research it and bring it back to you the next time.
Thank you.
We definitely need to have office here so that we
can go.
I'd like to have my office here. Our citizens don't need to go all the way to Alachua County.
It's
going to
slow up the permit process.
Yes, just do your best, Mr. Leon. I got faith in you. Hey, and thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for the extra hours you put in and got all that other taken care of. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. The audit. Powell and Jones.
Thank you for having us today. As always, it's a pleasure to work with everyone here. I know Carl was spoke very highly about the finance staff and everything, so we really appreciate that. You guys have before you the Dixie County Auditor Report. kind of a large document to offer to the presentation. I'll go over the page numbers if any of you want to follow along with that, but the page I'm going to go over. So, you guys got the first page of the presentation. We have the independent auditor's report in the report. Here those are pages 4 through 6. Basically, that states that we conducted a full financial audit of the county, which includes the board and each of the 5 constitutional officers. The audit was conducted according to the political standards. That's financial auditing standards, government auditing standards, single and federal single, or state and federal single audit standards as well. The objective of an audit is to obtain a clean or unmodified opinion. And on page 4, the second paragraph, it does state that you have obtained the clean opinion. And what that means is that we believe that the financial statements are fairly stated, that anyone who relies on them to make decisions, it's our opinion that they will not be misled by those. That's basically what that means. It gives kind of the highest level of assurance, which is a good reflection of the quality of the financial record and internal control procedures of the board and the constitutional office.
I don't have one of those reports right in front of me.
You good? Go ahead.
There it is. Sorry. I apologize.
Good. The audit report, we have pages 7 to 13. That's the management discussion analysis. This is important for placing the financial statements into context. There's context to them, but I'm going to skip over that and encourage you to read it on your own time because it's based on information that's later on in the report. Page 16 of the report talks to the governmental funds balance. The county has 25 governmental funds. With 7 of those are major funds and 18 are non-major funds, which is determined based on materiality. And those are shown on pages 61 through 64. The balance sheet basically says what you owe, what you own, what people owe you, and what you owe to other people. And then the net of that is your fund balance. And the highlights are on the next page of your presentation in the back of there. You look at the general fund, which is the main fund which you receive funds into and pay for general activities, governmental activities there. Total assets there, $7.8 million. Total liabilities, $1.4 million. And then the net of that, $6.3 million. Something we'd like to look at is if you were to spend the same way this year as you spent last year, how long would it take before your unassigned, unencumbered fund balance would run out? Usually like to see around 4 months. You guys in your general fund have 11 months. So that's good. The next page, page 19 of the report, we want to talk about revenues and expenditures. Revenues, what you've earned, and expenditures, what you spent during the year. Operationally, your general fund generated $10.5 million. And revenues over expenditures, which is good. Of course, you transfer a lot of that to support the other funds. I believe someone was talking about that at the earlier meeting. You transfer a lot of that. So your net change in fund balance for your general fund is about $1.68 million, which is good, which means, and we have a little percentage down there that for every dollar you earn in revenue, you get about 10 cents profit. That's good. Moving on to capital assets, it's on page 29 of your package. Capital assets does have about $95 million overall. Depreciation is a measure of how much of those assets have been used up. It's an estimate. It's not perfect, but it's an estimate for that. And it looks like you guys have depreciated about half of your or the useful life of your capital assets, about 46% down the bottom of the page there. As far as debt management goes, page 33 of your report. During the year, our debt increased by $5.7 million. The primary reason for that is the county share of the FRS pension plan. That's going to change based on actuarial evaluation. Everybody's went up this year, and I would anticipate we'll do the same next year. Moving along, because of federal funding, state funding, the county did qualify for both federal and state single audits. These are audits that are, they are they're more than just the numbers. You also processes and the compliance with the program from which you're borrowing. And with that, there were no findings in that, so that was good. We felt like the account was compliant in all material respects. Then the programs that were selected were your airport improvement program, and then the small counties outreach program for the state, and also the small county assistance program. And those you can find on page 84. The management letter on pages 73 and 74. And this letter basically just communicates anything that needs to be communicated with management, including findings. There were a couple of repeat findings in there this year for prior years. But it seems like from the responses we've got with talking to management, those are working to be substantially resolved. And they were not major things. So. You can see those on page 85. So. And then lastly, there's an independent accounts report talking about discussing how you handled public funds and everything like that. After our review, we had no findings related to that either. So again, we really appreciate the opportunity to work with you all. And, any questions? Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yes. Yep. Powell and Jones. Brandon. All right, number seven, that is the Florida Department of Agricultural Financial Report, and that's the packet that I gave y'all from the forestry there. All right. Anti-drug. All right, a bunch of anti-drug. Mr. Steve.
Board. Got a short one tonight. We've got 1932 active account. Since Debbie, we have had, with more and more people coming in, we've had more failures. Nothing like we saw with Idalia. Most of them are DQDs, which are electric medicines, and staters. But pump failures have been minor compared to Idalia. We had an emergency board meeting last night. The board agreed to hire a third party to look into incident reports. And we also had a workshop last night where they addressed SOPs of the board and the water plant. And that's all I got tonight.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gregg?
Good evening. I'll quickly go over project updates. The EOC, the contractor, submitted a building permit application to Leon, so he's reviewing that. Once that permit is received, then the ETP will start on that project there. All towns continuing, construction there is continuing. The Sheriff's Evidence Building, working through stormwater design as far as the site work. There have been, over the years, there have been about three different permits issued out there, so we've got to do a bit of shifting to accommodate to make things work out with the existing uses. There was some stuff that's been placed out there without a permit. We're working through all that. So a little bit of complication, but definitely can overcome. The CDBG project, the two roads, we did receive the environmental review approval. So that's been completed. The next step is they're reviewing the plans for Op authorization to bid, and we requested the new CDBG. Part of those requirements, you have to comply with federal wage requirements, and they will give us a category of wage earners that will be in this particular work category, and that will be a minimum wage associated with that. That has to go into the bid spec, so the contractors know they have to meet those at a minimum. So maybe some federal requirements on that. But that has a time frame, so they don't issue that until we're ready to go to bid, because you've got a time frame in which that document is valid in court, of course. House Harris Road, Jan's group has scheduled that reconstruction meeting next Thursday, September 12th, 11 a.m. The two fire stations, we have the one at Horseshoe and then the one at 351-349. We're basically kind of in hold until we get an actual site located. We desperately need to get those finished up. So we've done everything we can as far as moving the plans forward for that. The Restore Act funds, we've had a workshop. We gave an update at the last meeting. We have let the consultant that is administering those know that we will be doing amendments. The county will be doing amendments. Those amendments need to be complete and submitted to them by late October, by the third week of October. So we've got a few weeks, but we need to prioritize those projects that we went over and give other board wants to move forward on those. That's all I have, unless y'all have something
to do.
Fee scales.
Fee scales.
Fee scales.
Yeah. I got something. I spoke with you earlier in the week about doing a few more things with that BP oil spill money for coastal communities. Do we have enough money to, like, put some splash pads in all three of our coastal communities?
If you recall, the county right now, as we understand it, has about $14 million available to them. The projects that we discussed previously and then that we brought you the construction updates to amount to about $8.2 million. So that leaves you about six. We did have a meeting with Treasury this past week. They indicated that there will be monies coming on an annual basis all the way out to 2031. So, 2030?
I think so.
Okay. So, roughly another 6 years, you're going to be getting a pretty good chunk for doing stuff related to the projects we've talked about. So, the short answer with all that is, yes, there's money available for doing, you know, park improvements, for doing splash pads or, you know, whatever, you know, the county decides is a priority for the county.
Okay. All right.
We'll see what those priorities are.
Oh, well, Scott Nyland, the consultant out of Horseshoe, I think at one point there was some monies are being allocated for a beautification project and also for maybe some clearing of the oyster reefs. Is that out of the background or is that still on the table?
That's what the board's got to decide as far as what they want in the priority of those projects. That was listed originally as some of those projects. You heard some testimony, I think, at our workshop about some of the viability of the oysters and whatnot as well. So we need to take all that into account as to, and decide what you want to prioritize.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Gregg.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
John?
That's pretty good. I'll be brief. Mr. Gregg talked about House Harris Road. We're at the pre-con next week, so that's good. Get my glasses on. Look better here. 351 design, we actually met with the Water Management District yesterday on a variety of topics. One was that cross drain. I think we have our path forward to get that done. Met with Leroy, talked about that pretty extensively. Also, Cow Creek Boat Ramp, talked to them yesterday about that. There was an issue. There's one component that has to be approved by FWC. We've been trying a whole bunch of different angles to get a hold of them, and Tim assured me that he knows the fellow that he used to call, and he's going to call. So that was that's what we got yesterday. Once we get that approval, then everything is on somebody else's
leave.
Yes, sir. So that's where we're at with that. Shard Island restoration.
Mm-hmm.
We sent out the draft plans to Mr. Paul and the chief today. I'm sure they'd be happy to share those, or I can share those with you. Don't have the lab results yet back on the spoil site in terms of its suitability for bringing that over, so that's kind of the real big $64,000 question. I hope to have those next week, but that's where we're at on those. Horseshoe Beach dredging, the surveying is completely done, and we're working on the plans for those as we speak. And then the Kalaswani dredging, the surveying is scheduled to be done by the end of next week. And then we're working on those plans. So that's all I have, unless you have something for me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Johnson, sir.
Ms. Cindy?
Of course, I want to thank all of you for keeping a check on me while I was out in the training course. We don't wish that off on anybody. And I'm very glad to be back. Very glad to be with the library. What I would have told y'all last month was that for our summer program, we had 992 kids. Yeah, that's a lot. I had some great programs. Some we're going to have back, some I'm kind of thinking about. And we sent home 200 and we were to make a place kids, you know, had them for a couple of different days. And we partnered the school system and gave out 11,200 meals for kids.
Chair, I'll volunteer to assist the fighting grant for no charge.
Yes, I do.
We need a motion in that. Allowing him to do that?
Motion.
Yeah.
We got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson, for allowing Mr. Locklear and Associates to write a grant, find a grant for a new library. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Up at the old high school, how many buildings does the school retain up there around the gym?
They've got a couple, but they are being occupied. Yeah, ain't no
build something
leaves what we got. All right. Thank you, Miss Cindy. All right. Mr. Freeman. Thank you, Mr. Freeman. We need to keep Hutch in our prayers. He keeps getting this infection back. They think they get it, then it comes back a couple of months. Think they get it, it comes back. So eventually the antibiotics is going to quit working on him, so we need to keep him in prayer. That's where he's at today. All right, Mr. Johnson.
Hello, announcement, Mike.
It's all good, sis.
5:20. Starting next week, we will no longer be closed on Wednesdays. It'll be Thursdays. I just wanted everybody to know.
So they'll be open on Wednesdays and closed on Thursdays.
Yeah. And I wanted to thank Mr. Copeland and the guys down at 20 to help us out a lot. A lot. Thank you. That's all I got. So anything for me?
Yes, sir. I do. On the changing of the days, this just wasn't a knee-jerk decision. We both know that. And our attendants, Mr. Larry and Mr.
Gates,
Dennis, they monitored this for several months on traffic going out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday was a very, very slow day. And that was the reasoning behind doing this. It just was not a knee-jerk decision. So thank Mr. Larry and Mr. Dennis for monitoring this, and we'll try this. And if it works better, it works better. If not, we can always go back later. But I just want people to know that was not a knee-jerk decision.
No, we done a car count, and we done it for like a month. I think that would be the best decision there. And it would probably help us over the weekend.
Okay.
All I got.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tim.
Sure.
Mr. Scott?
So I got two grants here, just need the approval, and then we'll talk about how we do this tomorrow. So the first one is our regular fall maintenance grant for our 911 system for $46,245.80. Again, it's just the regular fall maintenance that we always do.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Second grant is our system is at the five-year mark. So every 5 years, we're required to look out to do a system refresh. So that is a second grant that we're going after for that for $154,156.94.
Motion,
Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
So I wanted to talk about this real quick. Mark and Paul and I talked about this probably a few months ago. So these grants call for a board signature or a county manager signature. So, and we wanted to kind of open it up and let Chana rely on it a little bit. Whether we have to bring the grant agreement whenever the grant is awarded, have that the board accept the grant. but to apply for the grant, should we bring it to the board every time we get an application signed, since it calls for the county?
If the county manager or the board could do it, I wouldn't think you'd have to bring it. It's dependent on the grant,
yeah,
how it's written. But if it says either or, then, you know, Paul could sign it as applying for it and then bring it to the board once it needs to be accepted.
So we need an action just to do that?
Not if the grant is that way, I mean, because you wouldn't have to.
We talked about, you know, we knew we had to do it to accept the grant.
Right.
It's important. You have to bring the acceptance letter and the agreement and all that, but
if the grant allows for the manager to sign off on the application, then the board wouldn't necessarily need to know, because they still have the veto power on the backside, even if it gets, Paul was to get the letter,
yeah,
saying, we're going to award it to you, and the board says, we're not interested, then.
That's what we thought. We just wanted to bring it up in an open meeting just to make sure that's where the direction y'all want to go. That way we don't have to keep bringing it back twice for the to apply and to accept. All right, there's two other things that's got that done. So the last grant that we accepted a month or so ago was for a mapping solution to upgrade our mapping solution for the 911 system. So we have two contracts. One of them is for Rapid Deploy, which is the contract with, for the actual, it's a software as a service contract. Chana and I have already looked at it and been back and forth with them, and I think we've come to an agreement on that. I don't have the final contract, but I wanted to get the approval to just go ahead and sign that contract whenever she's fine with it and we're good to go. We're going to have to bring it back and get it started.
Motion pending attorney review.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Stevenson. Discussion. All in favor?
Pending.
And the review of Ms. Chana, correct?
I don't know if we need a second motion, but there's a second contract. It's for the same solution, but it's a different company for the same.
Need another motion.
Well, hang on now.
We haven't reviewed that one yet. I just got it, but she's been, her and I talked about it earlier, so pending her review again, we'll.
All right, well, hang on. All in favor on the first two motions? okay. Now.
So we have a second contract that's for is for the hosting side of the mapping solution. It's for Datamart, which is a company we already do business with, that they're agreeing to do hosting of the data that goes into the map. So there's a second contract. Again, it's a software for, as a service contract. I've already sent it to her for review, but once that's cleared up, just approval for to go ahead and sign and execute that contract.
Motion pending attorney's review.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Hatch, pending the attorney's review. Second, Mr. Osteen. Any discussion? All in favor?
All right, that's all I got. As y'all know, there's a mount right there for the TVs. One of the TVs is in the server room. The other one was supposed to be delivered today, but I just read that it was not coming until Monday. So the computer's over there underneath Martha's desk, but we're getting there.
Last night we held a workshop in Swanee. Number one, you need to learn how to say Pendarvis. they don't understand that side of it. But
it's not uncommon.
Yeah. But I really want to thank you for the help that you've given Swanee. I heard your name about three or four times last night, and appreciate you stepping up and where we can help them.
We help out wherever we can.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Mr. Brown.
Heard your name last night, too.
Well, it wasn't good.
That wasn't good.
We got a compliment today. He makes everybody happy. Especially if they're grumpy.
Just keep 50 plus one happy.
I'm going to, only be a few minutes, gentlemen. You have in front of you a folder in the middle of the folder. I sent an email We've multiple items in it. The first of which is this. The tropical forecast for this morning. There's five potential storms, none of which are directly impacting us yet. Some of them have been reduced in percentages. They're all in the low percentages of making within the next 7 days. It is the peak of hurricane season. We've already had one this year. We just got done with the anniversary for the one from last year. So just pay attention to that. Be looking if anything comes up in the port that's going to impact us. We will definitely be letting y'all know. So we're working in that direction. Ms. Keene told me today that she has most of our 214 timesheet comparison work done for this particular storm we just went through. And that's a good thing because that means that funding is going to start coming back for our overtime and stuff is a lot quicker than normal. It's been a blessing having her in there. Last year she came in right after the storm. She had a lot of learning to do. This year she changed a lot of processes and stepped up her game and made me and she's going to look bad a time or two. She's got things happening there to keep up with those records, so we're glad to have that position there. That position is still being covered through some of these storm funds, so right now that is a good thing for us. The other item that you will see is this FDOT chart. This is for the debris pickup. They have completed the first round. They're preparing to move into the second round. Chief, is that correct? Somewhere in that neighborhood. There's been a lot of debris picked up. I've heard some of you mention that.
Yeah.
They will be going through the second round, and they will be evaluating as they go how much longer that need is there. But from what I've seen moving around the county the last few days, a large portion of everything has been picked up. There is still some there. I've seen some today.
They're going to go back down the same roads, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And then this, in last year's storm, they done three rounds. I don't think that's going to happen this year just because of the ease of pickup this time. So, but that will be determined. So if the need is there, if there's individual places, I heard Mr. Wood say he knew of a couple of roads.
Yeah.
If y'all see those and you think it's not getting done, let us know. We'd be happy to reach out to Mr. Bush or Mr. Upshaw and make sure that they haven't missed them. We have a lot of roads in the county.
Yeah.
So we've given them maps. Mr. Fender has helped us with that. But we don't want to miss them, and they don't want to miss them. But, you know, things happen. So if you see those and it looks like it's not happening, let us know. We'll be happy to reach out to them and give them an address, and they've got a man that can check it out.
Okay.
So that gives you a little bit of an update there. In the last year's hurricane, as y'all know, you each received a folder from Chief Garner on the various steps of money that we received or are in the process of receiving for those funds and those damages that we received. The first one that you will see says legislative appropriation. That's your LAP funding, as we call it. That was for the Horseshoe Beach dredging, Suwannee dredging, rebuilding Station 3 up in the 1st District, and building a new Station 6 just outside of Horseshoe and the Sherd Beach for nourishment. We've already mentioned that Horseshoe dredging surveying is done. Suwannee should be done next week. The surveying portions can give us a baseline of how much debris is there and what has to be taken out. And then the Sherd Beach renourishment.
Surveying done, you got a draft of the plan.
Survey's done, draft of the plan. Of course, the bridge work is going to slow some of Sherd Beach down, but it is moving along. Station 3 and 6, Mr. Bailey mentioned we are waiting on the landowner in Horseshoe Beach for the ideal piece of property. I reached out to him a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Their land management, he said that there was some delays because of this hurricane as well, just like us. Chief Garner sent him an email a few minutes ago requesting the status of it. They meet on Fridays, which is tomorrow. We are hoping they give us an answer. We made them an offer on that parcel of property, and we're hoping we get an answer quickly because, as Mr. Bailey said, they are at a point where they cannot continue with engineering, and now we're eating into that two-year time frame. And we still have land to buy there, and providing everything comes in good, we have land to buy in the 1st District. That landowner is still okay with selling a parcel of her land, and Chief Garner spoke to her about a week ago. So that's just sitting there waiting, but we have to get an answer from Horseshoe Beach first, or from that landowner in that area, not Horseshoe Beach. But we are moving on that at some point in time in the near future. If they can't give us an answer, Chief Garner and I and all are going to have to make some other decisions. We have a two-year window on this money, and that time frame is getting limited. So construction is a process. So we will see where we're at in a few days, but we will definitely keep you updated at the next meeting. That is that parcel. And again, any of these gentlemen, if you have questions, because some of this is difficult to understand, feel free to call us, come by the office, we'll meet you, we'll sit down with you and try to give you better explanation if there's something that's confusing to you. Because there's a lot of money, a lot of parcels of money, and it gets complicated real quick.
The hazard mitigation program is the other funds that we applied for in the tune of around $11 million. We have not gotten answers on that. That's the recovery portion to harden and strengthen and make things better that we can. In those projects was the Old Town Canal system. I don't know if it's not a maintenance, it's a dredging. I'll let Chief Gromer give you the correct word, because FEMA slapped me if I get the wrong term. Yeah. But basically, we're going to make that flow better. Similar to what we did with the Stormwater Task Force here in Gulf City, and it was evident in the last few storms and rains that we've had, 6 to 9 inches and 12 inches during the hurricane, that appears that that worked. At least it's working much better. So
better.
This is other funding to assist with the Old Town area. We already had some of that, but this will add to that. Dixie County Jail 911 Center generator is in there. We have the erosion control on 349 South, which is your seawalls, correct, Chief?
Yes.
And then the Swanee Road elevation for the two or three roads that we had targeted there.
Four.
The county emergency warning system, which is basically an upgrade of our radio system to give us a secondary backup system, and the courthouse generator. All of those projects are in that. They have been requested. The state has called on some of those items and asked for information. It is being reviewed by the state at this time. I cannot tell you their time frame on approval of that. But I will tell you there is a 25% match in this money, and during the hurricane they advised us that they were going to try to waive that match, and we have received written confirmation that the 25% match has been confirmed by the state, that they will be picking up that. So that's coming. On to the second, last biggest portion. You have two pages. It says blue header, says PA Grants Manager Process Steps. This is for your FEMA money, for the damages that our county has received, for our county parks, for roadways, things of that sort. Things that we're trying to get FEMA to help us with funding and repairing. And so far, all of that's looking good. We don't have any negative comments, but this gives you a breakdown. There's basically five phases. So it shows you, and I don't want to go through them all. You have a list of the projects we will go through, but it shows you phases 2, 3, 4, and 5. Which is where we pretty much are right now in some of them. If you will look at your project package, which is this one with the highlighted letters and numbers on it, you'll have a list of those projects with their numbers. You have three for debris removal. They're in phase three. And you can read those, CRC development. You can compare it over here to kind of see what that is. That's why I wanted to try to get it to y'all yesterday so you'd have time to look at it. But again, after this meeting, if you have questions, feel free to come by. Call us. We'll meet you at office. We'll meet you at your office. We'll meet you at Shirt Island if we need to. We'll have to walk in, but we'll meet you there. And we'll go through them with you. Those three, Chief, what would you tell me on the debris? Why were we at phase three? You said something about that the other day. Is it relevant, or will they figure it out on this?
I mean, it's just that all they're doing on the debris is it's just they're tracking what Lockbear Associates gave us as far as the disposal.
They're still digging through the information, basically. Emergency protective measures, that is in phase four. That's 100% cost share. Highway 351, that is in phase five. We have not received that funding yet.
Did you have a final review on that? That is the riprap around the horseshoe. 351.
Yes, I left my page with notes. I was sitting there trying to figure out, too. That's the riprap in Horseshoe Beach along
at the point.
It's not the road.
I know the point. At the point.
Yeah, at the point. Yes, sir. Along Highway 351. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is the interlocking blocks.
Yes. It's not the highway itself. It's the riprap.
Together. Yeah.
The highway
they don't make
that
version anymore. So that's one reason that it's in this DIU.
So is it all got to be replaced then?
We're trying to find out through the engineer and FEMA's engineer that to get where the new blocks are compatible with the old blocks system, because there's a rope that intertwines them all, and then it's locked in.
They can find the same blocks, they'll repair once damaged. If they can't, we may have to replace it all. That's part of their review. That's the things they're working on that's holding us up, or holding the project up. Highway 357, Shirt Island Road, that's pending applicant review. It's in phase three.
I'll tell you, the reason why that one, not to interrupt again, but the reason that says that's in our court is we are waiting with Mr. Gainey, myself, spoke with a couple of the paving companies. The state, the feds in the state only want to give us $115,000 to repair the two spots, and we're trying to figure out if that's going to be enough funding. And if not, we have to go back and appeal this $115,000 and say, we're going to need $300,000, and this is why.
Next one is Butler Douglas Memorial Park, Memorial Park, Horseshoe Beach. That's the rip wraps along the park perimeter. That particular, these are all broke up. There's several for the parks, and they're broke up into parcels to keep them into the small projects. That one is in phase four, so we're getting close to the end of the line there. Generator repairs at Old Town, Hammond County Jail is in phase three. Community Center building in Suwanee is in the insurance, phase three. Y'all heard me say pending insurance before, but they are going in to make sure that one of the building was insured or was not. And what we have received, I know we've received insurance funding for most of our damages, so they're comparing what was given, what it was insured for. There's a lot of stuff they look at. Apparently it takes a year. So we'll be starting on that one, but that's where they're at. But that's what that is. Communication tower, we had some damage to it. It is in phase three. Butler Douglas Memorial Park, Horseshoe Beach, again, that's part of the park. The bathhouse, that's in phase three. Park fencing, handrails, weather station, outdoor equipment is in phase three. Shirt Island is in phase three. Our EOC fencing and our sign that was damaged there, our electronic sign, those have been obligated. We have received the funding for that, $22,959. Shirt Island well, redrilling the well, we have received the funding for it, $11,119. We did request a mitigation for that to move that well outside of where it was inside the park out onto higher ground. That has not been approved. If that happens, and when that happens, I'll say when that happens, we will receive additional funds there. So we're not ready to go drill a well yet. But that request is still moving.
Yes, it is still moving.
So that's where that's at. And then the Sherrod Island tables, trash cans, grills, things of that sort. Y'all, we got that check a few months ago. You're aware of that for $31,000. So total of 65 something. My notes that I had in the office had that number on it, but you can add those three numbers together. The commercial pier is in phase three in Horseshoe Beach, and Bowlegs Mainline is in phase three in Horseshoe Beach. I had some concern to make sure that we were doing what we needed to. We weren't missing anything. I reached out to our contractors in the state. They have assured me by email, I didn't print you a copy, I'm sorry, I was going to, that our staff, Skeen, Garner, they are doing everything that they're asked to do in a timely manner. There's no holdups, no slowdowns on our end. I've seen stuff today, every day, I see three or four items comes through my email that they have to go look at, review, check, send information back to Atlanta, and she assured me that they were doing everything that she needed. There were no complications. Actually, she was very complimentary of their work. I asked if any other affected counties had started receiving funding yet ahead of us, and she said to her knowledge, no one has, and we're moving along very quickly in our process compared to what it normally is. Even though it is a slow process, it has been a year. She was very complimentary of that, so I hope that gives you some comfort, and I hope this gives you enough information to answer your questions and concerns, because I know there's a lot of them, gentlemen. I know y'all want to get the parks done. Mr. Hatch and I talked earlier, there's money, there's insurance money, but if we go build something that doesn't meet FEMA compliance, then we've messed up a lot of things. Some of this work, some denials may come, we may have to tear it down and start over, and we don't want to do that until we know where we are.
That's just what I was fixing to ask you.
I would ask that the board just try to be patient with us. I know the citizens want this stuff back. I do understand. I know Shirt Island's going to be complicated with the bridge, and I understand. Please know that we know that and we understand that, but I think it is still in the board's best interest to let's try to be patient with this.
The biggest issue we're going to have is with Shirt Island. One is once this money gets obligated, we have 18 months build the park, do everything of that nature. It's being closed for 36 months.
Right. Up to 36,
up to 36 months.
Until
so we have, benefit for us is that we're not closing the road. So it's a state issue, state project closing that road, so we have a good fight for that. The biggest issue with Shirt is they will not separates that into small projects. So if you look at that page, it's $2.7 million to repair Sher Park. That's not touching the beach money. That is just the pavilions, the bathhouse, and the pier going in. That is a where we spend it, we get reimbursed once it's obligated. It's not that they cut us a $2.7 million check. So finance and everybody, we need to keep that in mind when we start this particular project. It is a reimbursement project. It is over $1 million, so it is a reimbursable project. Everything else, Bowlegs, for instance, at $149,000, if everything goes through with it, they'll cut us a check for $149,000 and say, what y'all did was great, have a good day, here's your money. But it being over $1 million, they will not bust it into small projects. I've asked twice, and they will not do it. So keep that in mind when we start looking at rebuilding Sher Park, that it's going, we may have to look at getting a loan contractor or do it bit by bit until we get the funds all gathered in. So keep that in mind, gentlemen.
You have something else, Mr.
I think we all just want to see Horseshoe back a little bit normal, the parks and the commercial, get people back to normal way of life down there.
Trust me, I do too.
Well, I thank y'all for everything y'all do. We just would like, I know it's time to speed up federal government.
The good news is, if there is any good news out of two hurricanes within a year, the second hurricane did not give us a substantial amount of heavy damage like the first, partly because there was not much left of that.
It didn't blow blown away.
Say that, but it's not said lightly. We took a pretty hard hit last year. And, you know, we've recovered a lot. We've got our debris picked up, cleaned up, out of the way, out of the canals. A lot of things have been done. A lot of good projects have come from that bad experience. But at the end of the day, this year, we didn't have as much. We had a lot of debris. We had more debris coming. That's being picked up. It's being picked up through DOT. The state's picking up cost on that. It's not costing us a dime, this county. So that's moving along. We did have a fatality that was directly storm-related. We had a couple of others in a vehicle accident. I don't know how they were classified, but we did have one direct storm-related. A lot of things went better this storm. Last year, we had a lot of issues with some agencies that came in, and there was not a lot of communication. I lost my cool a little bit with some of the state offices, and they understood. And this year, that was a whole lot different when they walked in our office. Last year, they didn't come in our office. This year, they come in five deep, and they stayed till it was over. So things are much better there. You saw teams that came in. We had Task Force 1 and 2 again. They came in. They helped with the body recovery and removal from our fatality. It was more than my crews could handle with our equipment. They had to go in and train and stuff and help get him out. So that all worked a lot better. A lot of lessons were learned. I told you, Ms. Anna, she picked up a lot of information she didn't know. So things are moving better there. It's sad to have to learn those things that way, but that's what makes us all better. So that is my presentation on the storm information. If there's anything that I haven't answered, please let me know, and we can talk about it now or privately. That's up to you all for information.
Got one question.
I have one question.
State your name. There you go.
Okay. My question is that thing that went out for September 9th being the last day of pickup of debris.
No, ma'am. It went out for the asking you to get your stuff to the roadway the last day because they want to work that week, and that's where they're at. DOT set that date. The county did not set that date. All debris pickup is done through DOT. The county we provide them with maps and stuff, but we cannot set a date for them. It's done by state contract.
Okay. Well, it was misrepresented on Facebook because a lot of people took it a different way, that it was the last day that you guys were going to pick up debris, and a lot of roads haven't been picked up. And then there are a lot of properties out here that people haven't been able to get out and clean up.
Gee, can we update our Facebook?
I'll give them Andy.
Okay. Gentlemen, y'all know our situation is on private property.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wish I could, but it
anybody have any questions on the funding situation before we move on, because I still have a whole page.
One more thing. They were down my road yesterday. They did one side. They didn't do the other side.
They coming back. That's what they doing all over.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do a lot of traffic flagging. And if they swap sides of the road, it gets really complicated. So if they can make a pass in one direction on the travel lane, they can come back.
The lane they went out, and I don't know where the debris came from, but it didn't come from the property that's in front of. This barber's house, this big tree living down there. How it got there, I don't know. And then a little ways down from our house is another big tree limb. That side of the road's already been picked up, but they left those.
Well, they'll get it, Miss Goodrich. They'll get it. If not, we'll send Hutch to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He'll be taken care of.
All right. We'll move on. To, y'all know we've suffered some tragedies with our department. We have tried to mitigate a lot of that. We have a chaplain on now. There are still some complications. Our insurance company does provide some level of employee assistance, but it is not would like to see. It is also companies that nobody is familiar with, and people who are having issues do not want to go talk to people that they do not know. About 2 years ago, I reached out to a local provider for a crisis intervention contract and health assessment program. We got a number that I was not comfortable with based on what was provided. We had a situation just the other day. The chaplain contacted me and had an employee that needed assistance, and we worked on that. And it was very difficult to get through our insurance provider just because of some of the complications. But I understand those. But at the end of the day, we reached back out to this company. She's a local lady here, and she provided me a better contract for the year. I'm sorry, I do not remember the numbers, but it's around $6,000 to $7,000. It provides us with a pretty good quality amount of intervention, four times for each employee that's affected over the year, and then thereafter it's a very minimal rate that we might have to charge or pay. She's assured me that she has not seen any of her patients go beyond the four-time cycle. It also includes a lot of training for our staff. This is strictly for our department. If the county wants to look at it, I'm sure she would be happy to look at that, but this cost and quote is just for my department. I have almost 60 employees. There's a lot of stress, a lot of problems. You know, it's a dangerous job. They see a lot of bad things. We've seen some bad things this week. So I am going to move forward with this unless the board tells me no. I have the money in the budget. It's $6,000 over a year's time. That's not a lot of money for what it provides us if we have a staff member that we fill. If at the end of her conversations with them she feels that there's further need, she will assist us with getting that moved forward at their cost if they have to. And I'm sure our insurance company will help with that. I know Miss Angie is working on some things to help move that along. I spoke to Mr. Brad whenever this came up the other day. He's aware of the complications, too, and we're trying to mitigate through some of that. I don't know what the results will be, but at this time, I feel that it is probably in our best interest for our employees to go ahead and move forward with this contract. Ms. Chana has already reviewed it. I do want to read it again myself. I scanned over it briefly, but I want to read it in depth before I sign it and send it forward. But the board has no intention of that. I'm going to move forward. Thank you, gentlemen. So, bad news first, then we'll move on to the good news. During the storm, we found some issues at our logistics building, the old EMS building. Mr. Patch and I have talked about that building for some other uses, time or two. There was mold growing on the walls around the outlets. They attributed it to the storm and wind-driven rain to begin with. The insurance went out and said, no, that's not the problem. They put some bleach and wipe down around it. They were done with it. Mr. Lindgren was not happy with that because he was aware of other issues. We'd done some video footage inside the walls and found mold in the walls. We went out some walls and found mold inside all the walls inside the building. That is our logistics and supply building with $250,000 worth of medical supplies sitting in it.
If those medical supplies show up with mold on it, we throw it away. Everything in the business. That is a problem for us, gentlemen. We found this out day before yesterday, about 4 in the afternoon, that insurance wasn't going to cover this. It's what the report was that I got. We immediately took action the next morning. Mr. Ganey and I and much of the staff went down. We got Mr. Bradley down there. That building has apparatus bays, as you're aware. We immediately built a wall outside of the apparatus bay, rerouted our air intake and discharge from our air condition to avoid the mold and also to provide cooling outside into that bay. We have set up an area into the bay area that we can move our supplies to. I think today, Chief, did you ever get a final report? Did they get it all moved?
It's all moved over.
So our medical supplies, to my knowledge, are out of that building today. This all happened in less than 24 hours, 36 hours. So we have a temporary solution. I think, from what the reports I got, I didn't have time to get down there, but I think they may have gotten most of it out of the building already today with the inmate crews. My original intent and plan was to try to get that out and put sheetrock back because that seemed to be the cheapest repair for me. I didn't budget that much for this type of situation and insurance was covering. Yesterday afternoon, Chief Bass told me that insurance would be here today to look at the building. No, I had the email from Miss Angie. So they went today and looked at it. We're waiting on their report. There's a possibility they still cover it. I don't know that. They did see it before we started tearing it out. Mr. Ganey and I talked about this because of mine and Mr. Hatch's conversations. There's some desire possibly by the board to look at maybe using that building for a community center. We have some options to do that. I would like to have my supply building at my station across the road. We have the land there to do that. We have secured a building to do that. I think it's secured. I think it's not being used. It's one of the old school portables. It's a concrete building. It would have to be moved from the jail. I think that may have been some of what Mr. Bailey was talking about some things being in the way there. It's my hopes that there was some funding in that money for the evidence building to help move those out of the way. If not, the cost of moving that building is $10,000 to move it from Cross City to Old Town. We can move that building there to my station, and we can retrofit it inside to work for our supply building, and it would be a good situation for us. And that would allow the board to have the other building. And you could move the walls now since the sheetrock's still out and make that happen. But again, I didn't budget $10,000 for that. So we're still trying to figure out the best route there. I didn't know the board's opinion on the use of the building, and I didn't know if y'all even wanted to talk about it tonight openly, but it is there, and I think it's going to be a few days before we get definite answers on what we can and can't do as far as moving the other building. There's still some options there. But it would be something y'all definitely might want to think about, talk to Mr. Gaines, talk to me. I think Mr. Hatch has his mind made up.
My mind's made up. We got $10,000 and $250,000 worth of supplies. Really and truly, it'd be better supervised down there at your place. That's what you and I talked about. Motion to move the building for $10,000.
Do not have $10,000 budget.
We'll find $10,000. Motion to move the building for $10,000.
Motion been made, Mr. Hatch, to move the building.
Also, let me know if I have money.
Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Seriously, gentlemen, that's a problem for us. It's a major problem for the last 2 days. I haven't slept much the last couple of days. I'm glad that we've got the stuff secured. We hope that is working. We will work towards moving that and making that happen and finding the funding to do that. So I guess we have a direction. We will move on that as soon as we can. And again, I think most of the sheetrock is taken out, so it will be to put it back. But if you want to use that for other purposes, sir.
All the walls are out.
All the walls still seeming to go public. But you can move those walls now. If it's not a load-bearing wall, you can reconfigure that however you want. So. We have some direction to be moving that way.
Who was the second on that?
Me, Mr. Stevenson.
So, see if there's any more bad news for y'all. Nope, we're pretty good. So we'll move on to the good news. Any questions on bad news? I hope not. We have applied for a state.
Hang on, Derek.
Yes, sir.
Anybody got anything for me? I'm thinking I have to leave this meeting. I come out of the hospital. I got to pick my state to attend this meeting and make sure our
budget
stuff was set. So I'm fixing to leave. I said all I can take. If anybody got any specific questions for me, I'll be glad to answer them. If not, then I'm going to leave.
He's got to
leave
go.
Me.
He's about to pass out on me.
Yeah, buddy.
Good evening. We got you a pretty good chunk of money coming.
Still feeling good.
There's a $3 million grant from the Florida Department of Health for community paramedicine, mobile integrated health, which y'all know we have a program. Yes, sir. Sorry.
Scott.
Sir.
Will you check on him, make sure he's able to drive?
Yeah, somebody yeah. Maybe drive him or check on him.
Scott, you can't go through that way, it's locked.
Thank you, Scott.
Don't let him go wrecked.
Yeah, as bad as his luck is.
He's got some bad luck. Sir.
Take that, please.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Darren.
So there's a $3 million grant that has been offered by the State Department of Health. It came out last. We did have some knowledge that it was coming. I won't get into how much knowledge, but we did have knowledge it was coming. We have applied for that grant. They were going to award that to 15 departments in the state of Florida that had mobile integrated health. They were going to split it between rural and metro. It's a three-year grant. That $3 million will be split between those 15, and it will be split over 3 years. So it's about $40,000 to $60,000 a year. We're still not sure how many they're going to award. They did have 26 applicants. The position closed last week, but they reopened it because Miami-Dade didn't get their stuff in. I did not say that publicly. I'm scratched that for me. Seriously. But that is reopened, but it will be closing Monday. The review process is ongoing. It appears to be favorable, is all I can say in this public meeting right now. It's looking pretty good. So we'll see where that goes, but it will help to fund our community paramedicine program. You all know that we're using our opioid funds to help move that forward as well. That is a variable amount of money that we have to look at every year, and I know there are other things that has to go with that, so we don't want to rely on that as the sole source of funding. The rest of it's funded out of our EMS budget. So we're trying to staff another station this year. We need that money. So we're working on that. Our program is one of the premier rural department programs in the state of Florida. We were just recognized in the state news the other day again for being the first to have a contract in place for reimbursement through medical facilities. We have one with Mr. Andrews Healthcare, and they give us a percentage of everything they collect for the patients that she sees of his. So that is the first step. We're the first department to put that contract in place. Now all the others are moving forward. So Ms. Allison is becoming famous in the state of Florida. We have put her in for the Community Paramedic of the Year award. I believe that a member from the Department of Health at the Tallahassee office also put her in for that award, from what I understand. I believe there were about four or five applicants put in for that. Four or five entries. So if we put in one and they put in one, that's two of those four. That closed yesterday or day before. It will be announced in about a week or so. The winner of that award will be recognized at the state NSAC meeting next month, which we will, of course, be attending. We always do, but if so, she will be there. But there is some pretty stiff competition, so I don't want to say that she's going to be the one to get that, but it would be nice if she could. She's put a lot of effort into this. She's seen over 1,000 patients last year, patient contacts by herself. That's a lot. So that's movement. We had some requests from HCA, which is North Florida Regional Hospital. They come out, spoke with her. They've been doing some checking with Advent. Advent Hospitals help fund community paramedicine MIH programs, and they have been having some conversation there. When patients are discharged from the hospital after a stay at the hospital or care at the hospital, if they return within 30 or either 31 days, everything good, Chief?
Yeah, he's good.
If they return to that hospital within 30 or either 31, I don't remember the number for the same problem, Medicare, Medicaid insurances don't pay for the first trip. So if they have a $400,000 nightly stay in the hospital and they come back in 28 days, guess what they don't get at North Florida Regional? $400,000. So we have been approached by them, something Chief Ferguson and I were looking at trying to do, but they beat us to it and come to us, about our community paramedicine, MIH. I keep saying both because the term started at community paramedicine. They're trying to move it to mobile integrated health care, so we're going to start referring to it as MIH. But they came to us, HCA, North Florida Regional, and said, what can we do to help you? They had heard that our fuel bill was over $350,000, and they said, we can help with fuel. We don't know where that's going to go yet. They're evaluating how many patients, how many dollars they've lost. They call back today and say, can we meet you again? That was last week, today again. We met with them again today. They brought some higher-ranking people that have a few more strings to pull. And she took about 4 pages of notes, and she left smiling and happy. So we'll see where this goes.
Tell them we can find us some land in Dixon County to...
Hospital, urgent care somewhere.
Hey,
Darren, did y'all talk about wall time?
I'm getting there, boss. That's good news. You were but yes, sir, I did. There was some question about hospitals. I said, you know, we have to cross the county to get to a hospital in another county. Or your problem is your patients are a long ways away. Why don't you build us a hospital? Hmm. He said, why don't you build us one? And I said, because if I did, I wouldn't need you. I would contact somebody else. And he changed the subject. So there was some conversation had about the 4 different hospital entities that I have been in touch with about doing something here. Unfortunately, we're a small community, and I don't know where that will go, but there's things moving. So, but yes, sir, we had that conversation, and I offered them 2 parcels of land to look at, and they left my office to look at them on the way back to Gainesville. So we'll see where that goes, but I can't promise you that. The health department come in a few weeks ago and told you that they were going back to primary care in Dixie County, Florida. That's another change that our department's moving forward in the state of Florida. It's not done in a couple of counties. They advertised a few weeks ago for a doctor for the 3 days that they wanted to staff that, and then the 4th day was supposed to be their nurse practitioner. I think that's secured. They have her. I think they have the dental moving forward. Last week at a meeting in Ocala, we were told by Ms. Natalie, who is the director for Dixie Levy and Gilchrist Department of Health, that they did have a tentative interview scheduled the next day by phone. With a doctor, local doctor, I think she said. She sent me an email later saying that the interview went well. He was coming on Friday, which I believe will be tomorrow, if I've got my email dates correct, to look at the facility and meet the staff. We're still not a definitive, yes, I'll take the job, but that's good news, ladies and gentlemen. If that happens, then we will have a facility providing care within our county again at the local Department of Health. So I'm glad to see that. I hated to leave. As y'all know, my wife's grandmother helped build it here 50, 60 years ago, and longer than that probably. So longer than that, she gave me shots, and I'm beautiful. So it's a good thing to see. before we get to yours, I'm going to tell you one more thing I have here. Station 4 roof is going on right now. That's the Old Town Chaffetz Fire Station. They had the roof on one side yesterday morning. Evening they were finished with that. Fire water plumbing is going in. That station is moving along well now. It's still within the time frames. The EOC that Mr. Bailey mentioned earlier about the permitting, just before this meeting, Mr. Wright, myself, and Mr. Golden, our fire marshal, had some conversation about that permit. Mr. Golden was happy with what he had. He sent an email to Mr. Wright saying move forward, we're good to go, and issue the notice to proceed. So he and I spoke about it. I think that will happen very quickly. And hopefully by next week, they'll start moving construction material in at the EOC and start building that parcel. As you know, that come in over budget. We had to cut items out. One of those items was a circle drive around the backside of the station coming out. Creates some complications for me and my staff and our trucks coming in and out if we don't have a way around because those are big trucks. I've already spoken to a representative with the Senator's office, Senator Simon, and told him that we would likely be, pending y'all's approval and Gaines' approval, of course, submitting a request for appropriations this coming year to repave our office, which was part of that project we cut out as well, because we have a few Grand Canyons growing in our driveway, and it's becoming enough that people will twist their ankles. We've had it sealed a time or two. It has not worked. I told him we would be looking at requesting the repaving of that as well as the addition of what was cut out on the circle drive and the drainage and stuff that went along with that station, and he said, send it to me. And we will look at it. So we will be doing that unless y'all tell me not to, but hopefully we can make that happen as well. The last thing that I have is really good news. Mr. Hatch alluded to it a few minutes ago. Wall time is what we call our ambulances arriving at a hospital that has to take our patients when we get there and leaving that patient on the stretcher in the ER for anywhere from 15 minutes to 5 hours. My paramedic cannot abandon that patient on that stretcher until a nurse or doctor comes and accepts the report and puts that patient in a bed. They can walk by and say, hello, good afternoon, how are you doing, what's wrong, all day long. But until they take that patient and put them in a bed, they are ours to make sure we provide care for. Actually, by law, we could leave them on cot, but we're not going to do that to our citizens.
So we have had up to and in excess of 5 hour wait times with our truck sitting at the emergency room at North Florida Regional and Shands for up to five and a half hours. We only have three trucks, ladies and gentlemen, for 5,000 calls a year. Break it up. It's 3.5, 4 calls a day per truck. It gets hectic. We can't afford to have our trucks sitting at the hospital for 2 and 3 hours. Our paramedics make a good amount of money. Our truck is idling. Diesel fuel costs a lot. The departments around us, well, we'll start off with Alachua County several years ago. They started charging the hospitals for the wall time. Once they reached a certain number of minutes, 15 minutes, I think it was. It was a set amount. Every so many minutes after that, it was another amount. At some point in time, it doubled and then it tripled. What began to happen was all of our departments were sitting in the ER with our patients on the wall, and ACFR would walk in with their patient, and since they were billing, they would walk by all of our trucks and put them in a bed. Yep, their trucks would turn around and go back to their station a mile away, and our ambulances, and I say ours, Baker County's, Bradford County's, Columbia County, anybody that went there, it didn't matter, Gilchrist County, Levy County, you name it, Marion County if they came there. They sat on that wall while ACFR patients out of Gainesville got a bed, and our folks laid on that uncomfortable stretcher. Some of the departments decided we're going to start billing for that. I was very reluctant because we have a good relationship, and I did not want to go there. I put that off for a year or so. I wanted documentation from my staff because I didn't believe their reports, so it was difficult to get. Finally, I just bit the bullet last month and said we're going to do that and sent them a letter. Yesterday, I got the first month's total for 40 calls at $10,332. Yeah. Multiply that times 12, Jim. $120,000 revenue that I didn't budget for. So, they have to check. It's going out tomorrow, yesterday.
There's your building.
That's, yeah, but that's, we don't spend on that
much.
You're
going to
find me.
I just did. Long time.
So if that holds and they pay the money, and they will, I'm pretty sure, because that the young lady yesterday that has that pool asked me there, the meeting before, they asked if we were billing for wall time. I said no. They said, well, we're, or no, they didn't ask that. They said, have you had problems? I said, yes. He said, well, we're working on that. We fixed it. You shouldn't have had any problems the last few months. Well, I didn't know the numbers at that time. I come back and got the numbers yesterday or this morning when we met. She said, are y'all billing? I said, well, as a matter of fact, yes. I was told there was no problems, but on my desk is a $10,000 bill for walk time for the first month. And the other representative was in the other meeting. He was like, So she pretty much assured me they paid the bill. They have to. So we should start seeing those checks coming in. That's your really good news. That will help with a lot of things. But there's a lot going on. You all know that. We've got four fire stations being built. We've got trucks wrecked. I do have one truck that was wrecked during the storm. Our driver did turn out to be at fault for that coming out of our station. He has been reprimanded for that. Insurance has been contacted to repair the truck. The ambulance company said, yes, you can repair it for $18,000, but we can't see it until the end of 2025 in Texas. So they sent us a company in Ocala that could do it for the, that's where we got the quote from. Our insurance adjuster come and looked at it after that and said, I will not certify this ambulance with that repair. You need a new box on your ambulance. That's $250,000. They've already contacted the ambulance company. The representative called me last week and said, hey, they called and they want to replace it, not repair it. I was like, okay. So we'll see what happens with that. There's still some negotiation there, but that ambulance is out of service. We have another one that's fixing to go to Texas to be rechassied that was supposed to have been done this past year. We did not get that done. It's about 8 months behind now. So that's hurting us on our other trucks. When that truck leaves, I will have no spare ambulances. So if they wreck one, they blow a motor, we have a malfunction, I will take a truck out of service, out of one of the two fire station engines, to fix that until we can get this other truck back in February for the rechassis. We also have two new trucks that we ordered here before last as well. That will be coming in April and May. Since we did not have to pay for those rechassis this budget year, we had a couple of $100,000, I forget the number, budgeted for that. And next year, we're going to try to replace Chief Garner's truck to move it to our supply and logistics, who's driving a 2007 truck that shuts off at the red lights now and the air condition doesn't work. So I opted to go ahead and move forward with the replacement of that truck this year with those funds that we had it allotted for the rechassis, since we're not spending on that. So we have that truck ordered. I talked to Mr. Ganey about it, but as long as it was budgeted, he was good with moving forward with that. That pretty much will take care of most of my
staff vehicles now for a few years to come, so thankfully we were able to move forward with that. Other than that, gentlemen, we're staying busy. We're in and out. We've got next month, we've got a labor law meeting in Destin. We have a community paramedicine mobile integrated health meeting at Kennedy Space Center, and I have the state EMS meetings all this month, so I'll be traveling a lot. My staff will be in and out. Chief Ferguson will be going in other places, but we promise you we'll be working forward, all of us, and y'all safe and in good care. So any questions, gentlemen?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. Sorry, y'all. That's all
right. Okay. You ain't got it?
Yeah, you do. Give us a pickleball.
Those pickleball pavilions are up. We don't have the concrete slabs down yet, but they are up and they're already being used. And all the players appreciate it already. I've been getting emails about it. We're moving along. We just have to, I'm not a contractor, but I imagine we have to dry with the weather to pour concrete.
We're gonna need two picnic tables per pavilion. So we're gonna need four picnic tables for them pavilions. We got any picnic tables?
I don't think we have any further. We can definitely purchase those out of the PDC dollars.
I think we got a bunch of them.
I think y'all seen some picnic tables out there at the county yard.
We did.
Okay. I hate to put old looking picnic tables under a pretty.
Well, I'll make a motion to buy four brand new parts.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, for four brand new picnic tables. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
All right.
Do we want to have any grills that either one of them are?
All right, now. I think I got them mad enough.
Thank you, Ms. Gale.
Thank you.
Ms. Gale is not here. Ms. Holly is not here. Ms. Angie, she's not here. Mr. Paul.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman and Board, you're going to make your report. We only have 19 action items, and that reduces us having 3 weeks in between meetings.
So, oh, whoop.
Start with action item number one. We request board approval for the ship release of lien for Abby Lou Corbin in the amount of $30,172.70.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
Number two is request board approval for the ship rehab reimbursement for Sarah Chavis in the amount of $24,904.30.
Motion. Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye.
Number three, request board approval for the ship down payment assistance for Kenneth Sluss II in the amount of $20,000.
Motion. Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor.
Request board approval to execute the annual rate resolution 2024-62 for fire protection services of the special assessments in the amount of $125 for fiscal year 2025.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second,
discussion.
Mr. Hatch. In discussion.
That stayed the same, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just clarified.
The
processes
that were adopted in 2021.
Right.
Okay.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Number five, request board approval to execute the annual rate resolution 2024-63 for solid waste and disposal services of the special assessments in the amount of $180 for fiscal year 2025, and that remains unchanged.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Number six, request board approval to execute the scrap metal services agreement renewal between WC Mills and Dixon County.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. Discussion.
We don't want to advertise this again.
Up to the board, but we did have, it was in the previous contract.
the option for 1 year renewal.
Under terms for the board to renew the agreement for a year.
So under our agreement, say that again.
Under the terms of the initial contract, it said that the county had the option to extend the agreement for an additional term of 1 year. So last year when this agreement was entered into by the board, under the terms, there was the option for the board to continue this for an additional year.
I wrote on this one.
Again, it is a contract between the board and WC Mills, so it's up to the board to decide if they want to renew it or if they want to send it back out for bid.
The price
of
steel already been changed around.
Hadn't
been renegotiated.
I'm sorry,
I didn't. Come on up here to
the bedroom. I initially bid $6.50 for iron. Y'all elected to go to WC for a lesser price of $5.10. I heard that he come back in several months ago and renegotiated with you for third. Is that not right?
That is correct, sir.
So if he's not happy with his current situation, put it back up for bid. He hasn't renegotiated. And I was a high bidder to begin with.
What y'all want to do?
My motion stands.
First thing to do is put it back up for the bid. He's already said that he bid too much to begin with. And he said he used his toy that his iron went down, iron ain't moved. Iron, same damn price. Or I had it on mine.
Leaving money on the table.
Hmm?
Leaving money on the table.
That make him be high bidder for a change.
What's your money?
My motion stands. I'm solid where I'm at.
It's up to you.
You decide to vote once again?
Yep.
And that's the first thing to do. He didn't come in and renegotiate. He's not renegotiating. I wouldn't be sitting here.
He's kept it cleaned up, though.
Money in.
And he's been bringing all checks in, right?
How much money have we got since he's been doing this?
I think we're close to 40 or better.
It's
more than that.
It was over 60, I believe.
How much money did we get all the years before from the other
people?
I'm pretty sure I want to say somewhere around 60.
It was a little over 60, I think.
I know one check was right at $30,000. Is the citizens happy with the cleanup, keeping the scrap metal cleaned up?
Yes.
Because I haven't been hearing nothing, and I'm seeing a lot of heads shaking.
Well, like I said, the only thing you're cheating me is he's over his price on the next bid.
Any more discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Move on to number 7, Mr. Chairman. This request board approval to execute the bridge right-of-way easement 43063. It's DOT file 1503-68623. It's County Road 357, a California swamp between FDOT and Dixie County. And basically, this is just for some of the submerged lands along the side of those bridge replacements that the FDOT needs.
You got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. Number 8 is to request board approval to execute the bridge right-of-way easement 43025, DOT file 1503-67743, County Road 357, Assure Creek between FDOT and Dixie County, and this is the same scenario with March Lane.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye. Request board approval of the updated Restore Act Horseshoe Beach working waterfront application. This is just some of those, the language that needed to be put into the application. Greg was talking about to rework the working waterfront application on the Restore Act.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 10, request board approval to execute the FAA, bipartisan infrastructure law, for construct taxi lane to T-Hanger Phase 3 grant in the amount of $336,000.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number 11, request board approval to execute the FAA Airport Improvement Program, construct taxi lane to T-Hanger Phase 3 grant in the amount of $214,500.
Mr. Hatch got a motion?
Second.
Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 12, request board approval to allow Shelly Hatmaker to hold a Truck and Treat event at Waldo Park on October the 31st, 2024 from 4 to 7 p.m. And this event will be open to the public, and she did do this thing event last year with no issues.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Number 13, request board approval to allow Carly Gray to hold a Truck and Treat event at Glen Dallas Park on October the 26th, 2024 from 4 to 7 p.m. And this event will be open to the public also.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Number 14 is to request board approval for the Christmas and Swanee event to be held at Glen Dallas Park on December the 7th, 2024 at 2 p.m.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Request board approval of the North Central Florida Regional Planning Council agreement between Dixie County and the Planning Council for the annual monitoring of hazardous waste generators for fiscal year 2025.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Osteen. Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number 16 is to request board approval to reallocate ARPA money not used by the clerk of court in the amount of $30,000 to building and zoning through digitization of documents.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Number 17 is to request board approval to apply for the Rural Infrastructure Grant to do a feasibility study for a wastewater treatment plant in Old Town.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Number 18 is to request board approval for Lamar Brothers Construction to complete asphalt patchwork on Northeast 209 Avenue, Northeast 544th Street. There's five locations that the road department went in and cut out those bad spots.
Yeah, that's mine and Daniel District.
And this is for $33,000 to allow Lamar Brothers Construction to go in there and patch those.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Osteen.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, and this was a lot cheaper than what it was when they to begin with. All in favor?
Number 19, and when I get into this, well, I think we have Ms. Diane Scholes with North Florida Economic Development on the phone that we're going to have her available to answer any questions on this. But this is to request board approval to apply for a revolving loan fund through the Florida Commerce in the amount up to $1 million. This would be to purchase property near Cross City Lumber for the purpose of leasing the property to a company to build a mill that utilizes the byproducts from other nearby mills. And just to give a little light on this concept, and this perhaps can help explain this a little better because I wasn't here during that time. It's basically the same process that was used.
Yeah, I gotta go. It's getting too dark out. Now you're gonna be able to find my way home.
Get with it.
That's what I just told to have you give me a call.
Tell
Jane that that one wants to call back.
Okay. To have the approval to apply for those monies to help with that situation. There wouldn't be anything that the board would be obligated to until there was a commitment by this company to show that they are going to commit to lease the property. So we would be able to generate the funds to be able to make the payment on that. So if Mr. Hatch wants to help explain this, so I think we have Ms. Diane on the phone also.
We'll let Ms. Diane talk.
Good evening, Commissioners. This is Diane Scholes with the North Florida Economic Development Partnership, and we're really asking for approval of the board to move forward on the concept of using this loan fund in order to borrow the money from Florida Commerce, and it's basically going to be used to purchase at least 30 acres if we can get the price down better, then we might be able to get a little bit more land. But it would be to lease to this company, but also any future companies, because right now Dixie County really doesn't have any industrial parks, and the fact that this land is already zoned industrial would be a real plus. And we're not going to move forward without coming back to inform the board and the citizens approximately how much land is being purchased and explain in greater detail. There will be a lot of things that the company has to do in terms of saying, yes, they intend on creating this many jobs and there'll be this level of investment with their equipment and all of that. But the whole idea is there's no other way right now. You can't buy land, acquire land anywhere with grant funds. It has to be some kind of loan program like this. And the interest does not have to be paid, and there shouldn't be any payments until the company actually locates and begins to generate revenue to the county towards the lease. So there's a lot of safeguards in place. And it worked well when we did this about 4 or 5 years ago with Cross City Lumber when they first were trying to bring Cross City Lumber back up. And it went very favorably both for the county and as far as DEO at the time, Department of Economic Opportunity. It's the same organization. They just changed their name last year. Does anybody have any questions?
Yes, I am with this. With this being kind of like a county industrial park, there's a lot more room for infrastructure improvements also, easier to fund with a county owning it versus a private citizen owning it, correct?
Yes, sir, that's exactly right, because in order for public funds to be used to do infrastructure, it has to be on publicly owned properties. And you cannot actually use grant funds like the infrastructure fund to extend water lines, wastewater lines, anything like that on privately owned land. So this is twofold in many ways. We will be able to acquire the land, Dixie County will, and at the same time be put in a position that grants can be obtained to pay for the infrastructure.
Right. So all you need from us is direction to pursue this, is that correct?
Yes, sir, approval from the board that says, yes, you know, let's move forward and see what we can go ahead and do in terms of getting this company to make the commitment and to define exactly how many acres for the amount of money, and then we'll work on an application, a loan application. But there'll be a lot of written things that the company has to document that they are going to do. We're not going to leave Dixie County in the position of not being able to recover, you know, what is being purchased. And quite frankly, Department of Commerce understands very much the situation Dixie County is in. And when I approached them about this, they were very favorable in terms of doing this. But, you know, before we went ahead and tried to prepare an application for the loan, we needed to know whether or not the board was good with it.
Right. I'm going to make a motion to pursue this with the Florida Department of Commerce.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to pursue. Second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carry on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Diane.
Thank
for your
you.
Explanation. Chairman, that's it for the action items. We'll move to information items. Number one, just a reminder of the final budget hearing. That is on Monday, September the 16th, 2024 at 5:30 p.m. And because of that being part of the trim requirements, we have also previously voted to move the Board of County Commissioners meeting from the September 19th on that Thursday to that Monday, September 16th at 6 p.m. Also, I received an email from the town of Horseshoe Beach last week asking for the board to try to set some meeting dates and times to have a joint workshop that was talked about during the workshop that we had down in Horseshoe Beach. So the board would like to give me some possible dates and times, or if you'd like for me to just get with them and then come back to you guys with their suggestions on dates and times.
I'd say just get with them and see what they think.
Okay.
Yep. I agree with them.
All right. I'll get with them and get some possible dates and times, and bring those back on the 16th. Also, of course, you sent a letter requesting some of the Restore Act funds. So I think what I'm going to do is just email them back and ask them if they would provide us with some of the projects that they would think that they would want to use some of that money for, to make sure that it's not something that the county is also intending on using it. So I'll just respond back to them if it's okay with the board and ask them what their project suggestions may be.
Sure.
And that would be something we could talk about at the workshop.
Yeah.
But, and I provided you guys a copy of that letter also in your package. Number five, I've been approached by some employees. I've mentioned this to a couple of the board members before, that I've been pressured pretty hard just to come to the board and ask this question. I wasn't here during the time, but the grandfathering sick leave policy that is addressed in our handbook, that was effective February 1st of 2001, and it states that anyone who holds over 480 accrued hours of sick leave at that time could continue to accrue sick leave, and I have some employees that are asking if the board would consider revisiting that, or if they want to just continue on with the policy the way it was adopted back in 2001.
Paul, say that one more time where I can understand what you're saying.
So we have a
couple. I know what you're trying to say. So
yeah,
we have a couple of employees.
Yep, two.
That are longstanding employees that are asking the board if they would consider either deviating or changing this policy, the grandfathering policy, because they feel like that they should be paid out all of their sick leave that they've accrued since this policy was enacted.
And as do I. So let's turn that to an action item, and I'm making a motion to do that. Sir?
Okay. The motion to do what, sir?
Grandfather them two employees in.
Just them two.
Well, or whoever else. That's only two that's come before. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We actually, there's three employees that are.
Well, then, okay, then all three of them.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to grandfather them three in. And we got a second, Mr. Osteen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I want a list of them three people because I know two of them.
Yes, sir.
Let me give them to you.
That's the only three remaining employees up here. And
everybody, else, what was not there at that time, they were way off.
Correct.
Okay.
So the next information item is just for some quick information on something that we've been looking at Ocean Park, just to write down a concept so we're going to get ready to move forward. If you'll handle these. After talking with,
you have an extra one.
I do. After talking with Mr. Leon, with building and zoning, and talking with Mr. Scott at emergency management, we think that it would probably be best when it comes time to rebuild Horseshoe Park is to just try to go back basically with the same design and concept that we had previously. We've looked back and that park was approved for 9 camping sites for the septic system. So if you'll look there, you can see where we've laid out in the orange where the camping sites were at previously when we proposed to go back. The red squares would be where the electrical hookups would go, and we would like to go back with a 30 and a 50 amp hookup there and just place our pavilions back in that same general area. So that's just an idea and things that we've looked at. So if the board has any different ideas, just look at that over the next few weeks when we get the appropriate funds and get ready to go back to that. If the board has different ideas, we'll look at that. I know that Mr. Leon is looking and talking with the state and the state floodplain management to figure out exactly what we can do with our bathhouse going back. So it's going to have to meet FEMA code requirements, so he's exploring all the options on what we're going to have to do there. So that's just something to look at and consider and bring any ideas that you may have in the future.
I don't need that list. I got it. I got all 3 employees now. Yeah.
So next thing, number 7, is I need direction on how the board wants to move forward with the county manager position. The acting assignment ends on September the 9th, which is Monday. So we just need direction from the board on how you want to move forward with this.
It's chained. He's got the acting assignment.
Yes.
Do we have to, if the board chooses to take away the acting assignment and make him the manager, do we have to advertise it and go through all that process? What's the legal one?
I looked at the legal statute and I've also looked at our policy. The acting position, or let me rephrase that. Paul's previous position was assistant manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So an acting position would be a promotion, correct? Okay. Under our procedures for promotion, there's no requirement for advertising. And in most, there's not. Okay, if you're promoting somebody to a higher level. If you follow our procedures, and what I was looking at, gentlemen, is in the handbook,
I provided you
gentlemen
a copy of that if you want
to refer to a page. Yeah, it's page 13 is what I'm looking at now. If you'll look at 2.5, on the second paragraph, then 2.5.
In your handbook,
then. Page 13?
Yes. It talks about all jumps with an estimated duration of greater than 30 days will be posted internally for 3 working days, then if necessary, externally in a newspaper or other public area for 2 weeks. It goes through a bunch of other things also as far as this whole section. That is on filling vacancies. I also went through and looked at the acting assignment, which can only be held open for 1 year, which in this case is not the issue because we are well within the time frame there. But for, if you look at on page 13.2 down in 2.5.1, the procedure for filling vacancies talks about internal applicant advancement. It says when it's in the best interest of the county, an effort will be made to promote employees to a higher level positions as these openings occur. It goes on and says, you know, we do it based on merits and qualifications, and, you know, stresses for employees to report if they take any additional classes. I said all that to say that the statute does not direct that we must, and then we have internal policies that give us direction also, which is what I referred you to in the employee's handbook. So That being said, I believe the board can promote Mr. Paul into the acting position without advertising. However, if the board does wish to advertise, I would refer you back to filling vacancies, which says that you will go internally for 3 working days, and then, if necessary, to post it externally for 2 weeks.
I know what we've done in the past. I'm just double-checking to make sure I want it done it correctly.
Right. And, I mean, this would be a promotion for Mr. Paul. And
so you telling me, make sure I'm understanding this correctly, that we do not have to. I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm happy with the man.
You do not have to, the way I read the statute and the way I read our internal policy.
Okay.
That is the option of the board.
What y'all want to do?
I'm happy with the man, but I just feel like that it ought to be advertised. I'm sorry. I have no problems with Mr. Paul at all.
Me either.
But I just, you know, I have no problem with the job he's done or anything like that, but
I'm going to say this. I'm happy with Paul. There's always someone better. There's someone better than the 5 of us sitting up here. Always. That's how I feel. But he's doing a good job. He has not given me one reason to look for somebody else. He gets along with all the finance. He's got a good crew in his office. I know he gets along with Hutch and the yard maintenance people. So I, on my opinion, on myself, it would be a waste of 2 weeks of posting and everything else, because that's not going to change my mind how I feel.
And I'm not saying it would change mine at all either.
The only thing I would want to point out to the board, Mr. Paul is going to be employed by the county, okay?
Right.
So if we don't promote him, he gets to go back to his position. Just want to point that out.
Or another comparable.
Exactly. Yeah, it could be comparable. It has to be the same.
Salary.
Right. But, so, just FYI on that one.
I need a motion. I can't make it. I could pass that gavel, but
he's gone.
Exactly, the person I'm can pass it to is not here. No, I can't pass it tonight.
Somebody has to make one, or it dies for lack of a motion.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta take some action
motion.
On September the 9th.
Do I hear a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
What's your motion?
I can make a motion to advertise for the job.
We got a motion, Mr. Wood, to advertise for the county manager's position.
I'm going to second it for discussion.
We got a second, Mr. Hatch, for discussion.
Who wants to start discussion?
I'm happy with him. I didn't say I wasn't happy with him. I just feel like the job ought to be advertised. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it.
Here's my thing in a nutshell. I'm not dishappy with Paul a whole bunch at all. What I'm dishappy with is what we give him to work with. I am the most ill-informed as a county commissioner that I've ever been in my life. All reads black and white. I sent him a list of, 15 things this morning? You should have got one of them things. But according to this, that what we uphold, you should get all 15 of them.
Yes, sir.
That's what I don't like. But it ain't a matter of you. It's a matter of the policy and procedure. If we can agree to fix the policy and procedure to where I'm informed, and I don't know about y'all, I like being informed, I'll make the decision whether it's bad information or not information, because the conversation I had with you, Paul, was if I see fit, if I think it's important enough, I will let you know as a commissioner. Wasn't that what you told me? So what
that's,
you
that's
see...
the board's policy and procedure manual, sir, and I'm just trying to follow it.
So what you see important...
And myself,
what you see important and what I see important is two different things. So if y'all can agree to fix this, I don't have an issue with Paul, period. As far as black and white, he's a black and white person. Just in this book, he's going to do what he's supposed to do by this book. But this book is the problem. Everybody wants to know what the problem is. It's right here. It's our rules. The reason you're not informed is it's our fault.
I get informed quite regularly.
So then,
both of them.
So then maybe I won't withdraw my second. Because
You're
getting
informed
and I'm not. I have
well, I call every day and I ask questions and I do this and they tell me what I need to know.
But to go there and have to run a stop sign, a mosquito bite, a pothole, a boat ramp problem, or a deck problem on a coastline is ridiculous to have to run through your county manager.
But the same reason you're talking about, sir, about being not being informed, if I'm sitting there and I have employees running all over the county doing things that I'm not aware of, and something happens and I'm sitting there blinded, then I don't feel like I'm doing my employees justice not knowing what they're out there doing.
And I'm not doing... I'm not doing my job as a commissioner. We just got through an election that we set out there and spent boo-poodles of money to stay here and lowest paid people in the county. But yet, whenever a citizen asks me something or other, I don't know an answer. True? If it's not true, tell me what's not true.
You can give them my phone number, sir.
They don't elect you, Paul. That's the problem. They don't elect you. They elect us five. That's the problem in a nutshell. And it's right here. This is your problem. We want to know why the policy and procedure is that way. It's because we put it that way. A good prime example is this agenda right here. We can go through the agenda right here, and let's see. Every one of our department heads is on this agenda. So I could go Tim Johnson right there at that podium and tell him, Tim, I need this and this and this that done. But by policy, I can't call him and tell him that. So what's that don't make sense to me. Why are they even on the agenda according to the policy book today? Don't make no sense, does it?
I think it's more for information, sir, just like Mr. Chief Brown has done. He's brought information to the board to keep them informed. Mr. Chairman, board, I'm okay with whatever this board decides to do.
I'm good with you.
It's a board decision, so whatever they want.
I want policy fixed to where I'm informed. I don't want every time I make a phone call that, hey, we got to run this through here, run this through here, run this. So we spend more time, you spend more time worrying about that list today that I gave you. Is there something else you could have been doing?
That didn't take very long, sir, for me to get that information from you and give it right on to the road superintendent. And now we've got...
It wasn't just road superintendent stuff. It was other stuff also. Right?
We took care of.
Well, I can say in my office, I try to update my policy and procedure yearly. So if y'all if y'all need to update it, that's on y'all. He's doing what he's supposed to do.
That's my whole point in a nutshell.
Right.
If you're not going to make this a priority, I can't support you.
Well,
let's update.
I try to do everything on a daily basis by what's in that policy
and procedure. That's what I'm saying, Paul. You do, and I commend you for that. But we have an HR person. When's the last time it's been updated?
No, we do not.
We're supposed to.
We're supposed to, but we don't.
I think it was adopted in 2001. It should be on the cover over there.
Right. And then if you look, even this is back to, that I was reading you on Vic, it says it's 2011. Again.
So that's since the last time we've updated it since.
It's been updated.
It's been updated one time.
It was
updated in 2011.
It says, made effective February of 22, was adopted by the Board of County Commissioners on 17 February of 22, made effective February 17 of 22. All prior policies and procedure in conflict are hereby repealed. Resolution 2229, dated 2/17/2022.
So it's been over 2 years.
We can't hold him at fault for
no, we can't.
So what needs
but
to be changed?
We need to look at this, and we need to make the book.
So it's our fault.
It's our fault, 100%. And that was my thing, is he going to make it a priority to go over this policy and procedure? And he ain't answered the question.
It's the board's policy and procedure, and I'll be glad to put together a committee. Come together and look at this
again.
But there again, this is the board's policy. It's not the county manager's policy.
I've said that.
It's not the department head's policy. It's the board's policy that gives us guidance on how we conduct the day-to-day operation.
So we need to go through this ourselves and say, I don't like this. We need to change this.
I just went through this last night with Steve, and honestly, they're looking at policy and procedure. Same thing. What was the one thing I told y'all? The last policy and procedure y'all need to be sure that y'all put in place was y'all review it once a year. Was that what I told you last night?
I believe last time we did this, we had a workshop. We all kind of sat down and went through it. And
yes.
Okay. So that might be what you want to do again.
I need a commitment that we're going to look at this and review this.
Paul, we going to make a workshop?
Let's make a motion for a workshop.
You can't because we still got a motion on the table.
We going to make a workshop and go over this within the next, 2-3 weeks?
2-3 months. As long as I got a commitment, I'm good.
You know what he's asking you.
Yeah, there again, Mr. Chairman, it's the board's policy, and this is the board of county commissioner. If the board wants to set a workshop to go over the policy and procedure,
well, Mr. Hatch,
if
I'm understanding Mr. Hatch's question, is he's wanting a commitment from you as the
county manager,
that you're going to make this once a year. That you're going to say, hey, all right, we need to go over this again. And if we don't find nothing, all right, the clock starts the next year.
This is the Board of County Commissioners policy and procedure
handbook. Okay, don't answer the question. My motion will not take it stand.
It's the policy and procedure handbook, and that's the guidance that I would follow. But it's not the county manager's policy. It's the board's policy. Whatever they put in this policy and procedure manual, if I'm sitting here, that's what I'm going to follow. And if the board says we'll revisit this every year, then that's what I'll do.
Well, I want to set a workshop date to go over this. Got a motion and we got a second.
Gentlemen, I don't think it's been that long since Angie told me that she had started.
That's a joke.
I'm not sure what the time frame was. I have totally lost track of time for everything this last month. Yeah. You know, 3 weeks and then dealing with a dead computer and everything, reading all my files. But at some point, I don't think it's been that long since she told me that they were going to start on it. And they may be started on it already. I don't know.
Paul, are they started on it?
I have no idea, Commissioner.
My guess would be no.
Kind of busy the last year with two major storms and dealing with everything else. So I'll take whatever direction from the board that needs to be taken.
We got a motion and a second.
David's shaking his head. He's staying where he's at. I guess we had a dead tie, 2-2. Because...
Can we table this until the fifth man gets back?
I've got confidence in that man.
I'm not asking that much. I'm asking for a commitment to work on this policy and procedure. That's what I'm asking for. And now you got two people's jobs in jeopardy right now.
Mr. Paul.
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Hang on. Mr. Paul, as chairman, one of the commissioners, I'm going to ask you, will you, as manager, if you get this position, if you will make it a date, let's set a date every year to go over this, and at that date every year,
you got that. Hold them accountable for the job.
Well, as manager, can we make sure that we go over this?
Board's desire to review the policy and procedure
every year.
Annually, I'll be glad to do that.
Okay. And I'm hearing our HR person, and I'm kind of agreeing on that.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that she's been having some health issues quite a bit. So, we might need to look at that.
And gentlemen, I would throw it out that this covers a lot of legal area, okay? Not that I want more work, but I think you need a committee, just to put it that way. There's different areas in here you need HR for. There's different areas that you need to make sure that what we're addressing does comply with Florida statutes and everything. So you're going to have input, of course, from me, which I usually do anyway. But I do think that this needs to be, if it's annually reviewed, is that we do have it where it is reviewed by more than one person.
Well, Krishner works heavily with the HR department. We all know that. So I just want to know that it's going to be done.
That's going to take
me. And we can set a resolution. We can set policy on that. That's something that's easy enough to fix.
Easy on the board. I think that I would like for the board to advertise for this position and interview applicants and let the board make a decision based on who we are. Are we okay with that?
This is easy. Can you hear me?
She said Angie.
Yeah.
I started back last year with Dwayne, and Dwayne kept putting me off about meeting on this book with Holly. We know now it was because of him leaving the company, so it keeps getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Holly and I both have been sick. I can't make up any excuses or any anything for my health. It is what it is. I'm sorry there are some people there that don't think that I'm doing my job. Prisoner is very aware of our policy and procedure book. I reach out to them on anything that we have questions on. They review things with me on a yearly basis. When they do my audit, I just finished that audit. I do have very good audits with them every year, but I am ready and willing to have a workshop and update things that do need to be updated.
Thank you, Miss Angie. Is that it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lady in the back.
Hinging on the fact
to review the policies and procedures?
Yes.
Paul, is that something you can do? I just heard you say yes.
I did say
so
yes.
So what process at this point? He's agreed to it. He sets it up. He sets up a workshop. What's holding up his promotion now? Maybe that's too simple.
Mr. Paul? All right, go ahead.
Corey Hart, I think what's going on, putting Paul out in front of all of this and throwing him under the bus is wrong. He should have been taken care of in private.
You can't, because our policy don't work that way.
Well, you should have done it with him, not in front of God and everybody.
We tried to.
I believe we had this problem down there in Swanee at one of the water board meetings, getting some of the, you know, people called out on the floor.
Yep.
So it can either go, either one of the guys can drop the motion, or either I'm going to give in.
I'll drop the second.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I want you 100% now.
I got my commitment that I wanted. So I will drop the second.
I'll drop the motion.
So both of y'all dropping both
drop
y'all's motions?
Yep.
I want y'all happy.
I tell you what,
Mr. Paul. They just dropped both of theirs. Let's all agree. Let's make this our top priority. From today, let's jump on this and let's get this fixed where all of us, where is that? Is
as long as I'm informed, I'm good.
Okay.
But I will not be beat over the head with something like this no longer.
Okay. So you know a section that you won't change in there.
We'll talk about it in the workshop.
Okay.
All right. What's the workshop?
All right.
Can I ask Commissioner Hatch a question?
Yes.
Since you brought it up, sir, can you let me know what you are not being informed about? Because the only thing I heard is that you don't like the idea that you can't call employees and give them things to do. That's not being informed. I think that I do a really good job of trying to inform you guys of things that I feel like you need to be informed of. I can't inform you on every little thing that goes on in the manager's office 8 hours a day. The things that I feel like y'all need to be informed about, I do my very best to do so. But if you need to know every time that we send, you know, a greater man to fix a hole in the road, I can't do that. So I don't know what you're not getting informed about, but I'll be glad to try to fix that.
Let's work on it.
Okay. Well, I know I call you how many times a day, and you call me back.
I
guarantee you it's 10 or 15 times a day.
All right.
Old John. Every day.
All right, David. Are y'all, I want y'all to be happy.
I mean, I'm being sincere when I want to know what you're not being informed about.
Well, we had a firefighter hurt. He was in the hospital. I found out about it on the street.
Okay.
Right?
You found out about it before I found out about it.
Yeah. So, there again, that's department heads that work for you. So are you going to hold them accountable?
There's something that I feel like this board needs to be informed about. I do my best.
Now, let's go back and address your motor grader problem with your pothole. I told the road superintendent to fix the problem. I didn't care how he fixed it. Fix the problem. The motor grader man called me. I said, I don't care how y'all fix it. Fix the problem. That turned into the biggest misunderstanding that I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to tell Hutch how to do his job. I'm not going to tell Robert how to do his job. I got a problem from a citizen. I got a complaint from a citizen. I passed it to Hutch. Me and Hutch talked about it. Robert called me. Me and him talked about it. I can't help that they don't communicate there. That's not my problem. My problem was the hole. Now, did they do a wonderful job on it? Heck yeah, they done a really good job on it. They fixed the hole. Shouldn't have an issue for a long time. And I commend them for doing it that way because it looked like it's a good fix to me.
Get into that.
All right. Now, so both y'all done pulled both y'all's motions. Now what y'all want to do?
Can you hear me?
Hang on. All right, go ahead. Who is this?
This is Huck.
Okay.
This is Huck. I got something to say about Mark's behalf there. I told him 3 loads, and Robert swears that Mark come towed him and rocked the whole road.
I told Robert to fix the problem. I have not changed
my mind. No, you didn't, Mark. Robert ain't lied. You know Robert Carter ain't lied.
Mark ain't lied
either.
Hutch,
we don't need to have this discussion tonight, sir.
Yeah, Hutch, we'll talk about this later. All right, Hutch.
Hang
you
up.
Good, Hutch?
Hang up.
All right. What y'all want to do, county manager?
Motion to hire.
We got a motion, Hatch, to hire him as county manager.
Sorry.
Got a second. Discussion. Are y'all happy?
I'm happy to start with. I just said the job needs to be advertised. I never said anything bad about him.
Yeah, you didn't.
Okay, as long as that's on the record.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Who seconded?
David.
So are you going to have a workshop?
Yes, that's the next thing.
What date's good for workshop? On policy and procedure.
We have a meeting on the 16th. We have a meeting on the first and third Thursday of every month. So if
the board will give me the date that they desire to have a policy and procedure
workshop,
we'll
get that on the agenda,
Mr. Chairman. October 3rd, after the board meeting.
Come back at
1 o'clock
right after
noon. Yep. 1 p.m.?
1 p.m.
That'll work.
October 3rd, 1 o'clock. All right, need a motion. Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, workshop. Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
Aye.
As far as the policy and procedures, I work real close with prisoners. They update me on any new statutes that we need to incorporate.
So you can bring...
Someone for y'all to work with.
So you can bring something to the table for us. Okay. Thank you. All right. Now, I've got a question for the manager. When are you going to order that lift for your new truck? How much is that going to cost?
The last time I had to get one, it was about $500.
We got that. Okay. Do we need a motion for that?
It'll fall under
this.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? All right. Is that it, Mr. Paul?
That's it, sir, unless you have anything else.
Nope. Thank you, sir. All right. Ms. Chayna.
Couple things. We have a resolution that wasn't addressed. This is on the emergency. All right, so that's 2024-69, which extends the state of emergency from August 16th to August 23rd.
Okay.
Okay, so, well, I think that's a different one.
but we do need that one assigned and approved. Okay.
On the 29th of this past month. Should have been in the past Friday.
Okay,
Ms.
then this is
Ms. Chair.
Maybe the wrong one. Okay, maybe it's a different number. The one I've got here.
Me and the chairman spoke about it.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Make sure we've got it, so we're good on that. The other thing I wanted just to briefly mention, all of you should have got an opioid letter from me. An opioid hold letter is basically what it is, just so that y'all know a little bit about what's going on. There's more litigation going on opioids. There's a possibility that there may be some more vendors, I hear, from lack of a way of calling them, defendants, whichever term you want to use there, that could be included in this lawsuit. So we have been asked to issue a hold letter on any documents, and it's, documents is a very broad description. It could be emails, it could be receipts, it could be prescriptions, it could be anything that could relate to opioids, to not dispose of it. So any retention policies, anything that we may need to get rid of would definitely have to be reviewed to make sure that we do not dispose of any of those items. So y'all did get that, and it was a little bit more detailed in the letter, but I know when you get a two- or three-page letter, you go, yeah, right. And it gets put in, but it's pretty dense stuff, but it explains to you in more detail some of the things. Most likely, as the board, y'all will not have those documents, but you may. Like I say, it just for y'all's information on that. And that was sent out to all the department's head. I sent the letter to Ms. Martha and Mr. Paul, and they did get that sent out. We notified the attorney that is handling that lawsuit on our behalf. There is at least five other, most of them are pharmaceuticals, that companies that are being included. So there is a possibility we may have an increase in some opioid funds. When? You know, the last one took 4 or 5 years at least. I wasn't with y'all when it started, but I was here when it finished. It took a year and a half after I got here. So that being said, this may not end for a while. Maybe an increase, which I know Mr. Darren and our drug coalition be having if we get some more money. Other than that, gentlemen, things are moving. Y'all have run a pile of contracts through. Like Mr. Paul said, there's 19 of them. So it won't hurt my feelings if we breathe for a minute. Yep, thank you.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Bobby?
I don't have anything. I just wanted to congratulate our three commissioners that got to keep their seats.
Yes.
We've done a lot this past 4 years, and I'm looking forward to the next 4 years of continuing to work together. I think we have a great team. You're doing great, and I think we're all working great together, and I want to keep that momentum going.
That's it?
That's all.
All right. Commissioner Idles. Mr. Woods?
Congratulations, Paul.
Yes,
yeah,
that too.
One of them is working. We're going to find out tonight. It's actually locked up pretty well, but we also got with Duke Energy to have them go ahead and install another light on the opposite side. So that'll be forthcoming through.
Awesome. Thank you,
and
sir.
And also, Commissioner Stevenson is not here, but the lights that he requested in the area of Little Hole and Kirk Landon Road, they have been installed.
And good deal.
Good deal.
Much needed.
Mr. Hatch.
Congratulations to David and Jody for winning the election. Congratulations to Paul for being county manager. Look forward to working with you. Look forward to fixing this issue we have here.
It's all about communication, sir.
Exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. That's about all I got.
Let's get back on lights. I need those lights. They've been been going down there to fix them, but they always get tied up somehow. For Halloween, those lights down there at D-Track over the pickleball and all that, I need them fixed because they're having a big Halloween haunted house down there. And, yes, that board that I sit on down there in Steinhatchee, I don't, at the water board, I don't think, I think this board has given me direction that I don't need to bring up here who I'm appointing members or anything like that. But their attorney wanted me to advise our board that I was appointing Mr. Toby Griffiths and Paul Greenwell as a floater down there next month. So I don't think, I don't even think I had to bring that up in this board, did I, Sam?
You have the board's authority to make that recommendation.
Okay.
Right. The same as I think Clark does down
in Point. Okay. Well, that's all I got.
Is that it, Mr. David?
That's it, sir.
All right. We had a good-looking crowd tonight. I say that every time. But I want to congratulate, Miss Barbie beat me to it, congratulate Mr. Hatch on a hard-fought election. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We worked good together. We're going to work good together for at least another 2 years, 2.5
probably
years. Me and Mr. Woods is up to bat next, so at least 2 years. And then congratulations to you, Mr. Osteen, and to Mr. Stevenson. And we do work good together, and we are getting better. Just like Miss Barbie said, we all make a good team. Sometimes we have to spit spat a little bit up here, but that's, we're all different. If we all think alike all the time, then what kind of board are you going to have? You know what I'm saying? You got to have a board that bumps heads and, you know, but not stand up. Just don't go that far, but and then like Mr. Darren and Scott, EMS, thank you for all the hard work that y'all do to keep us safe and the hours y'all put in. I want to thank Mr. Leon. I know me and him kind of bumped heads. That was lack of communication. He was gave false information. I was gave a little bit of false information. Me and him worked that out. Me and him good. He put in some extra hours, him and his team, busted their humps, and he's got all of that. Everything, all the permits and all caught up, except the ones who does not have their applications completed. And that's on the individual, not the employee. So I want to thank them for that. And I know they put in a couple of extra, well, not a couple, quite a few extra hours. And they got it done. So I want to make sure they, and I want to thank the road department, Hutch. I want to thank Tim Johnson and his crew out there. We all working good together, and we're getting a lot done. We're cleaning up the county little bit by little bit. So the mosquitoes people, I've got a few people that still, I'm going to try to get hooked up so we can get them up there in the yard and spray. But I do know that the spraying is helping because at one time, you couldn't hardly swat them. They were thick. They're getting a lot better now. So I want to thank them.
Can't talk to them. Tell Paul about it.
I know. I call Paul. I call Paul, I want to thank everyone that come here, and thank y'all, because y'all are our team, too. That we got to have y'all. Y'all got to keep us in line, so thank y'all. All right, I've said enough. Now it's y'all's turn. Who wants to speak first? Come on.
Do you have one in place? And if so, may I get a copy of it?
What board is that?
This board?
No.
We do the same thing that they voted to do last night, honestly, Ms. Linda. We've had... Yes. Yes. So it's the same. It's the same procedure that they talk about.
Is for the board to identify an outside vendor to come in and do an investigation.
Yes. That's what we do. We've done it a couple.
She's looking it up. Because I didn't know if y'all had to do a tolerance to express in the workplace.
If that ain't in this book, it can be in this book.
4.5 workplace data.
What is it?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I honestly was looking at Darren. He just asked a question. I just answered it for him.
It is. Because we have a situation that it didn't happen just once, it happened twice.
And
it's been brushed off like, oh, we'll do an investigation, but in the meantime, the
individual who's threatened is concerned. So it's
especially somebody following around town. Anybody else? Barb? I'm just curious. Where I'm coming from. I'm just curious about the feasibility study for a waste treatment facility in Old Town. Where is it going to be, and it's going to treat sewer? What little sewer there is in Old Town?
There's a lot of sewer there.
So it's going to be similar to, I guess, Plus City already has it, right?
And that's the thing that a feasibility study will answer is the need,
right.
You know, where will be the best place for you to go, how many people could be able to service. That's the purpose of a feasibility study,
okay.
Is to make sure that it is feasible to pursue funds for a wastewater treatment facility.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Norm once. Everybody happy? I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to adjourn.
Sorry.
Second, Mr. Osteen, all in favor.
All right. I want to show you something. Come here. I was going to try to show you. You can't see Steve sitting in that. I know I am.